about.
Welcome to Face with Weird Al Yankovic. I'm the host of the show. By using transitive logic and deductive reasoning, you should now be able to figure out exactly who I am.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
Okay, people, put on those 3D glasses, don that fat suit, sit your poodle on your head to mask your bad hair day, sling that accordion across your chest, and put down those scissors as you run, because today, right now, we're going off the deep end for a polka partying Alapalooza with my hero and our national treasure, Weird Al Yankovic.
Our next guest has been one of my idols my entire life, Grammy-winning, platinum-selling recording artist, a musical icon, it's Weird Al Yankovic.
And now, konnichiwa.
And welcome to Face to Face, where I talk to some of the brightest stars in the entertainment industry, get to know them, gain their trust, and sometimes make a jacket out of their skin. Perhaps I've said too much.
Our feature presentation.
Hope he cancels.
How was my thought as darling?
You. Bean is so excited.
Did you sleep last night, Bean?
About Weird Al.
I mean, I tossed and turned.
Yeah.
You know, woke up every hour and in my head mentally counted how many hours until Al was going to be here.
Sure.
Sugar plums.
Now, this is a guy who Bean says is the greatest human alive, A.
Right.
And B, we've interviewed him many times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's the first time he's
right.
He still could not be more excited.
I love Al.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What's not to love about Al?
Oh, I'm not saying he's unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying maybe your love of him, probably he would even agree, is a little intense.
Yes.
I was worried how he would blend in now that so many people are doing it, because he started off as like the only one. But he still stands out. He's Weird Al.
That's right. Thank you, sir. You're right about that. Don't listen to what these other clowns are saying. Well, I'm very excited. Is he here yet, by the way?
No. He's not coming until the 8 o'clock hour.
Oh, so he should be here any minute. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Omar.
Hey.
Omar's filling in for Chip, because Chip's on the road. Did her plane ever take off? Did we hear?
Not the last I heard.
I think it crashed.
What? Omar! Come on.
That's not what we do on this show.
Man, no, that's not what we do. Bean's all indignant.
Chip and her band Well Hung Heart are on the road. They're doing a mini tour over the Memorial Day weekend. And the last I heard was what she tweeted, which was that the pilot was a no-show on her flight.
Mm-hmm.
After sitting on it for 20 minutes.
Exactly. So
That's when you want to find out.
I'm hoping that she's fine. So we've just got Omar for today, right?
She may be on her way back here now.
Oh, that would be the saddest
would be so sad.
Tour ever.
What a bummer.
But Omar did something really cute, you guys.
He did.
Can I say?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I whipped it out.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Omar.
I don't think that was
We don't
be her...
do that on
what?
This show.
Since when?
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. I just thought I'd say it. At about 5:31, he pressed the button to talk to the office, and he said, "Hey, Kevin, about 2 minutes." And I said, "Oh, that is adorable. You think he's just sitting in the other office?
That is
so cute."
2 minutes out, Kevin's not even in the parking lot
no.
anymore.
I saw Jessica, who's screening our phones today, and she said, "Yeah, it's perfect time when I walked in. Perfect timing. Omar said 3 minutes about 2 minutes ago."
Yeah, Kevin's still on Interstate 10, that far out. Hey, speaking of bad stories, by the way, listen to this. You guys, this is, wow, this is, I mean, really, like, whoa, like, right?
I'll wait.
I'm going to need that because I don't understand any of it.
This is a young man by the name of, I'm not going to do very well because he lives in Thailand, I want to say. His name is Athaporn, yes, Athaporn Bunmakchui is his name. And he just got out of the hospital yesterday afternoon, by the way, and he has revealed the details of his injury. He lives just east of Bangkok, and he takes a shower and makes a poopy every morning. So he's on the toilet. It says here, by the way, Omar, you'll appreciate this. Athaporn says he had just squatted on his toilet for his usual 30 minutes of morning business.
Wow.
30 minutes. It doesn't say he has a TV, but who has that kind of time? Usually
mugs.
People get up at the last, yeah, maybe
that
mugs. Usually people get up with just enough time to get ready for work and leave, but he carves out a half an hour for his business. Well, it's many people's worst fear in the world, but what came up from within the toilet pipes.
Oh,
but
no.
Python. But a python that rose from the depths to fasten its jaws around the end of the man's penis. His wife, Sawatry Shuyong, told the paper that she heard her husband screaming for help. She opened the door and found her bleeding husband fighting with the nearly 4-meter-long python.
Oh, my God.
So he's wrestling with this python.
It's mine, and you can't have it.
No, I don't think that was it at all. He is trying to get this python, who is attached to his junk, loose. He's trying to basically extricate himself from this situation. So he was able to do that, by the way. He was able to force the reptile's jaws open rather than just rip the snake off, because you imagine that would even do more damage to his penis. So he yelled out to his wife for a rope. She brought in a rope. Even though he was nearly passed out from loss of blood, he was able to grab the serpent by its head and use the rope to tie it to the bathroom door. Because he didn't want it to get away. He didn't want it to go back into the toilet, or he didn't want it to get loose in his house. So he tied it. So it's going from the toilet, still in the toilet pipes, by the way, and now attached to the door. 38-year-old man was taken to a nearby hospital. Rescue workers were left to deal with the rampaging reptile whose body was still mostly stuck in the toilet. Workers had to remove the toilet from the house and then use a hammer to free the snake from the plumbing. I saw a picture of this, by the way. I saw a picture of the toilet afterwards and all the blood, and I saw a picture of them.
That is so not like you to look at those pictures.
I know. I know. Totally. Athaporn is in stable condition, and he is expected to make a full recovery. Authorities suspect the python entered the home through a pipe that led into the toilet, obviously. It will be released back into nature, by the way.
What a waste of his time. Holding on to it and tying it to the door and everything. They're like, you know what? Go on your way.
But I think it's unlikely that it will make its way back to his specific
but
house.
But when it does, it's going to be the funniest thing that's ever happened.
You know how many people we have heard over the years talk about this ridiculous, crazy, unsubstantiated, it would never happen fear of, oh, what if I sit on a toilet and a snake comes up?
I'm one of those people.
Really? And you know that it's impossible, that it would never happen.
I've been able to control it. When that thought comes into my mind, I go, nope, that's stupid. Don't even think about that. And then I'm able to generally ignore it. But that thought keeps coming back.
Think about this man. He will never again have a relaxing poop. Yep. Ever.
How could he?
Oh, that is no way to live a life.
You can't blame this guy for being terrified of the toilet for the rest of his life, right? I mean, he legitimately has reason. It's like a guy who survives a plane crash. Doesn't matter how many people say air travel is safe. For him, he knows differently.
Yeah. Right.
So anyway, I apologize if now I put this thought in everyone who's listening's head, but I guess it does happen sometimes.
I have a quick story. My mom has this fear also. And when I was about 13, I had accidentally left my watch back where the top of the back of the toilet.
Uh-huh.
And it's like 5 a.m. She's mid-poop, and it goes off. The little alarm goes off, and she's mid-poop, and she darts out of the restroom. It was awesome. Because she thought there was a snake in there, because I have no idea.
Snake? She thought your watch?
She heard the beep, and she automatically thought it was a snake.
Snake's beep?
So, mid-poop, and there's
wrong with your mother?
On the floor.
Oh, Omar.
Right. That was hilarious.
All right. Good morning, everybody.
Lord.
All right. Dave just said my headphones. Maybe that's why she hates Omar.
Maybe.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
Comedy songs are the mark of a douchebag.
You're wrong. You know why? Three words. Weird Al Yankovic.
Bean's Death Corner on today's show.
Yeah.
It's Thursday. We talk sports with Jim Rome. We talk to Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I think today we're going to talk to him about sleepwalking and the Ambien phenomenon.
And how I can get some, by the way.
Any doctor?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk about a way that you could listen to what your cat is actually saying. Somebody has invented a cat translator.
Huh.
Yep. So you'll be able to understand what your cat wants. And I think that's about it. Yeah, okay. We have tickets for Life is Beautiful.
I believe
that festival in Las Vegas. We have tickets for that as well.
Sure awesome.
That's coming up this morning on the Kevin Bean Show.
Al's going to be here.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Okay.
Right? Did everyone feel, did that feel as good to everybody as it did to me?
Boo. Not really.
No.
Like a low grade boo?
Yeah.
Remember a loud boo. That's 55, awesome. Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's the voice of Ralph Garman. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
Sad news to kick off the Showbiz Beat this morning. Beth Howland, who played the scatterbrained Vera the Waitress on the classic 70s sitcom Alice, has passed away. Actually, she died on December 31st, 2015.
What?
You heard me.
Just no one reported it?
Well, her demands were that no one know about it. Which I think is a funny demand. Because really, when you're gone, what possible difference does it make? It wasn't like we weren't eventually going to notice that she wasn't around anymore. I'm sure the housekeeper said, "Where's Mrs. Vera? I haven't seen her on the home lately."
People make a lot of demands about things that are they hope will happen after they die. And it never makes any sense to me.
Well, this one is particularly weird because you're not going to keep a secret forever. So when you die, if you tell someone the day after you die or 6 months after you die.
Right.
And what does she gain by delaying the news 6 months? What does she think that would happen? I can't understand the thought process behind asking someone, "Hey, don't tell buddy I'm dead until 6 months goes by."
I can't
by,
either.
Okay?
Yeah, I don't get
see
that.
See the upside.
She's also not.
If she's a very private person. I can see not wanting people to know her business. But once you're dead, it's really largely irrelevant. Your business.
I don't even know who she is anyway.
That's,
come on,
no, Alice.
Vera.
No, right, but I think.
Oh, flow.
But she's not exactly top of mind for everybody that's, you know, watching to make sure she doesn't die. No one's thinking about her. That's an odd request.
It is.
That's very sad.
Were you thinking about her?
A little bit.
You weren't.
I was thinking about her all day yesterday.
She wasn't even Alice, right?
She was Vera.
She was not Alice or Flo.
Okay.
She wasn't Mel either.
She was not Mel.
So she's
Tommy.
She's third tier on a show that hasn't been on the air in 50 years yet. She thought we were sitting around every day wondering if she was still alive?
I don't think she was thinking
that
at all.
What was she thinking, do you think? Like, why would she
this
say
is my
that?
Point. I don't
because
know.
Because people don't normally make that kind of request after they die, because what difference does it make?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's an irrelevant request. It's one thing to say, I want something with my body to be done a certain way. That gives you a certain amount of peace of mind while you're still alive, thinking about what will happen to you afterwards, right?
Right.
Or do this with my money, give it to this cause or something. That, I can see those requests as of having some relevance. But when the news gets broken to me, seems odd. And she told her husband, "Don't tell anyone after I die until 6 months go by." Then you can let people know. Maybe she was afraid Alice fans would storm her estate in a candlelight vigil of some sort. She wanted to give her some time to process it.
Are there maybe Alice fans?
Oh, Kevin.
Oh, come on.
Just in this room, apparently.
Anyway.
Maybe she was afraid of a Prince situation where all sorts of people would come out of the woodwork claiming to be related to her and trying to get a piece of her estate.
You're all rotten. Just rotten.
You're afraid she's not many people would claim that she mothered them?
Yes, exactly.
That she had just people falling out of her vihuna?
Right.
Correct.
I think you're missing the point.
I think we're all confused by this one.
I'm saddened because she was, remember that one episode where she met Telly Savalas?
No.
That was hilarious. "Who loves you, baby?" he said to her. It's got some sad news also. Johnny Depp's having a hell of a week. First of all, his mom passed away on May 20th. And then to make things worse, his wife files for divorce 2 days later. After just 15 short months of marriage, Amber Heard has filed for divorce against
that's what champions do.
Johnny Depp, so.
Do we need to check in with our boy?
There's only one person that's happy about that news, I think. No, she's able to make all those Playboy Club episodes that I've written.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high
celebrate?
Tonight.
Celebrate?
Party? I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight.
Right.
I'm like mother f***ing Tupac.
You are. You're just like him.
He's just like Tupac. Nobody is more Tupac-like.
You're also a hologram. Hey, come on out. tomorrow night, Friday, 10 p.m. to the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I are going to take the stage for the first time in a while. It's going to be good. Good to be getting back to Hollywood Babylon. We have a good time, and I think you will, too. You can hear us talk about all things entertainment news, and Kevin gets really baked, and I'm usually drunk and ornery. It's a good time. 10 p.m.
No!
At the Improv on Melrose, go to improv.com to get your tickets.
You do your hour chunk on Alice?
I will do. We will be paying tribute to Alice. I'll probably play a clip from the episode where she met Telly Savalas in honor. We do have a segment on the show we call the Tinseltown Stiffs, where we go through the deaths of the week.
Okay.
And Ms. Howland will be well represented, which I'm sure will probably be much to her chagrin because she didn't want anybody to know she was dead. Yeah. So I'm probably
going the opposite of what she was,
against her wishes, but I think that she needs to be acknowledged. She didn't even say kiss my grits. That was the other one.
I told that to my kindergarten teacher.
Was that a thing that was said on that show?
Oh, my God. That was Flo's big line.
You have to remember, Allie, that I think Bean didn't own a television until the late 80s or something. Oh. So he's not familiar with all the joy that was Alice.
So gross.
I'm with you there, sister.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Stevie Nicks is 68 years old today. Bobcat Goldthwait, our buddy Bobcat.
Bobcat. Goldthwait.
54 years old. Lenny Kravitz is 52. Helena Bonham Carter turns 50 today. Matt Stone, South Park creator, of course. Is that Trat? Is that Trat of Trat and May? Or is that...
I think it's May.
That's May?
I'm not sure.
Trat and May Stone?
I'm not positive which one it is.
Remember that time where Bean didn't know how to tell them apart or pronounce their names? Those were good times.
I think if Chip were here, she would have had that up.
We have it with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May rather, when they, what am I trying to say here, Kevin? Matt and Trey, thank you. This is like
May from now on.
May. That was a moment with Bean. May Stone.
What am I trying to say here, Kevin? Help me!
Screw you. All the times you let Kevin drown,
correct,
and think he's going to bail you out? No, sir. Lauryn Hill is 41, and Hank Williams Jr., he's 67. Oh, Hank.
Yeah!
I got to think Hank's a Trump supporter, don't you think?
A million percent.
The way he feels,
oh, yeah.
The way he feels about those Three Stooges?
Yeah.
Obama and Biden?
Sure.
He hates the three of them.
He does hate the three of them, so that's true.
That's the worst. Now, if Chip was here, she would have had that audio up by now.
I don't think we have that one.
I have no idea what you're talking
about.
Hank Williams.
Way to go, Omar. You suck.
I was talking to Bean that time. Oh. Hank Williams Jr. is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as Bean.
Thank you so much for tuning in here to the program on a Thursday morning. We've been talking a couple times this week about Bob Dylan has a new record out. And I know that it has been very popular with some of the older artists to do pop standards. You know, Rod Stewart had like 5 albums of the Great American Songbook, and most of them sold really, really well. And a lot of people go, well, that's not what we want to hear from you. That's just a cash grab. Do what you do. Boz Scaggs did the same thing, Carly Simon. But a lot of people are really surprised that Bob Dylan, of all people, one of the most successful and famous and terrific singer-songwriters of all time, is on his second album of Frank Sinatra covers. Like, what's going through his mind as he decides to do this again?
I feel like I don't want to write any more songs.
Yeah.
Really? But even if he just wanted to do other people's songs, there are millions of other people's songs he could do. Why is he doing Frank Sinatra songs?
Maybe he loves Frank Sinatra.
Okay, then listen to Frank Sinatra records.
See, well, what about this? Thing.
It had to be you.
What about that? We don't need that.
Well, I don't know what that adds to the legacy of either Bob Dylan or Frank Sinatra.
I feel like you're very angry about this because you want more Bob Dylan songs. You want more songs that he has written, and I get that, but can't you let the man be happy doing
what he wants?
It had to be you.
Look. See, he almost hit that note.
He's 75 years old. Bob doesn't have time left. Don't waste it by singing this.
Maybe that's the point. He doesn't have time left, so let him do what he wants.
He's on the phone.
Oh.
Bob Dylan is on the phone?
Yeah. So he's got a lot of time left is what
okay.
we mean.
Let's yeah, he's young and vital and singing better than he ever has before, and I support everything he does. Hi, Mr. Dylan.
Hey.
What a thrill to have you on. How are you today?
I'm good. Everything on the scene's gone very strong.
I bet whatever you said is absolutely true. Listen, we're talking about your latest Frank Sinatra tribute album called Shadows in the Night. What can you tell us about it, sir?
Yeah, it's Frank Sinatra. And as far as I say, I'm from this ground, and I'm still all of us am.
Heard Frank Sinatra, that's all. Yeah. That's all I got out of that.
I love Frank Sinatra.
You love Frank Sinatra?
Okay, all right. Okay. And do you feel that your fans are receiving this project well?
No.
Okay, all right.
Very clear.
Yeah. Okay. So what's going
on? I think the fans want, you know, about doing the songs about politics and turmoil, social change.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. That's what you're famous for. Yeah, that's what you do well.
Yes. And now I see Frank Sinatra, and they're like, what?
Right. People say, what? Right.
He's still got it.
Wow. Okay. Bob.
That lung control still. Oh, nice.
Nicely done. Do you feel like you're done with this songbook phase of your career?
Oh. Yeah, I got a new album I'm working on.
You're already working on a new album?
Yeah.
Okay.
So busy.
Songs that mean something.
Songs that mean something.
Songs that matter.
Okay.
Back to Bob Dylan that we know and love, sure.
It's still an album of cover song.
Okay.
But these are songs that change us. Change the way we think. Change us when we're young.
Okay.
Make us who we are today.
Okay, like what kinds of songs are you going to be doing, Mr. Dylan?
Like this one. The wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round, all through the town. The people on the bus go up and down.
Kids song.
Yeah, it's just a little kid song. That's not.
Down, the people of the bus go up and down, Bob. And the black people sit in the back.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't expecting.
No.
That's a nursery rhyme, though, isn't that?
These are songs that make us who we are when we're young, shape our minds.
Right. Who's going to listen to
that? Itsy bitsy spider who climbed up the water spout.
Okay.
They turned on the fire hoses and washed the spiders out.
Again?
Oh, wow. Just
came in the sun and dried up all the rain. And the itsy bitsy spider joined a union.
You do have a very poignant point to these songs.
Yeah.
It's very nice, yeah.
Changes who we are. It
shapes our mind, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Row, row, row your boat. Gently down the stream, merrily, 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 get a slave to row for you.
Oh wow. Why? That just seems inappropriate in the 21st century, Bob.
Yeah, it's teaching
that.
The kids about the inequality.
Right, but it's teaching the kids about 150 years ago, though, not about now.
I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my handle, here is my spout. When I get all steamed up, hear me shout. Tip me over and pour me out. I'm a little teapot. I am taking acid.
Oh, is that what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. We've lost Bob.
Mary had a little lamb. Little lamb. Little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. Her cotton was used by Indonesian children to make tracksuits in a sweatshop.
Well, the kids will certainly enjoy that story.
FF kids.
Well, where the hell is Weird Al Yankovic, by the way? Isn't Al supposed to be on today?
Yeah.
8 o'clock hour.
Couple hours. Couple hours. Take it easy.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Take it easy.
I want it, and I want it now. Hey, keep on listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Got more chances for you to win a trip to Las Vegas for Life is Beautiful. Great festival coming up in September with Mumford & Sons and Jane's Addiction, the Lumineers, Dirty Heads, the Shins, and so much more. You can get the details at KROQ.com. Your chance to win at 9 o'clock this morning here on KROQ.
Time for the Afro Line, 323-520-8.
WKFRO, 24 hours a day. You can leave a message on any topic. This first one is about Dave, the King of Mexico, and how much he hates feet. He hates all feet. He doesn't ever want to see feet. And that's what this guy's calling about.
Dave.
Shut up. Right? That's a guy who's committed to being and staying barefoot, it sounds like.
Hey, can we get going? Let's everybody send some pictures of feet to Dave. What's his email address again?
Oh, that's a great idea. Send your pictures of your feet to kingofmexico@krock.com.
Mm-hmm.
He will love that so much.
And maybe video of you kind of like caressing and
good.
In between the toes.
He
just
would like
get
that
up
even
in
better.
There.
Especially if they're dirty. Don't clean them first. Yeah. Do not clean them.
Go, Jam!
We've been talking for a while about this lady who loves the Chewbacca mask.
Sure.
More than life itself.
That's not me making that noise. It's the mask. Here, listen.
That's what this guy is. That's only slightly less annoying than the real lady.
This message is for Ralph. In regards to what you guys were going on about yesterday, the lady in the Chewbacca mask, regardless of what stance you have about joy or psychoticness, I just want to point out one thing. Ralph, you agreed with Bean.
That's a great point.
He's got a good point.
Yeah.
Dare you. You need to rethink everything.
Yes.
We were giving away Blink 182 tickets, and we did Blink 180 Haiku.
Mark, Tom, Matt, Haiku. Want to see some naked dudes? Swipe out this pool. 575 or whatever. Hey, that ain't the set I'm playing in. That's a Haiku. Haiku.
Wow. Doing his own show.
Had a good voice, though.
This guy was not a fan of the broken penis talk.
Why would you be talking about a man's penis breaking in half? Ah! I'm in the car driving a unit with you, trying to talk about that. Why?
Man, that guy's more annoying than the woman with the Chewbacca mask and everybody put together. This guy's very upset.
I can't believe Steve Kazoo got Nashville canceled. What a dick.
Steve Kazoo.
Right?
Yeah, he didn't.
That show was on 4 seasons before he joined.
That's true, but he didn't.
Little criticism of Bean.
Bean, really disappointed with you. 26 minutes into Thursday's podcast, you said Legos. It's always Lego, never Legos. Remember, you know what you have to do now? Kill yourself.
Well, I think that may be extreme,
seems
but
extreme.
I will try to do better. I apologize.
Bean does not like to be incorrect, so he takes that very seriously.
I'm still sitting here. It's funny you should say that, Kevin, because I'm still sitting here uncomfortable with that guy who said psychoticness instead of psychosis.
But that's still bugging you?
2 minutes ago, yes.
That's bugging you.
It's still bumming me out.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll give you something else to be bummed out about. First of all, this is Bean's actual real sneeze in real time.
Sorry.
Now, I don't know when this started, but somebody started listening to the podcast and they somehow hit it on half speed and they thought that was the funniest thing they had ever heard.
Right. You guys, Bean sneezed on half speed. Hit it, Steve.
Half speed rules.
It does.
Now, we all need to hear the ultimate moment with Kevin where he's talking about God and terrorists and who knows what he's talking about. Anyway, play it at half speed. Hit it, Steve.
Oh, wow.
And this now,
this is
it's
take a half
time
hour.
For a moment with Kevin.
Can't wait.
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to must be, you know, infallible word of God or, you know, and terrorist,
right?
You know, situations or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no. This may be a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was a moment with Kevin.
I gotta be honest, that sounded sort of accurate.
Really, that makes a lot of sense to you, does it?
No, it doesn't make sense. I'm saying I almost did it at that speed.
3-2-3.
No, no.
No, oh, there's
sir.
More?
No,
wait,
sir.
There's more?
Yes,
I thought
sir.
We were done.
No,
how do you top
right.
that?
Can you guys play the Ally Moaning remix at half speed?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, we can.
Just as good as I remembered it.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Smell it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was horrible.
There you go. All right.
That is now, awful.
323-520-AFR. Leave us a message 24 hours a minute. It's the Kevin Abeed Afro Line on K-Rock.
It is 6:53.
Thursday mornings means Jim Rome on sports. Later on today, also our weekly visit from Dr. Drew Pinsky. Right now, it's Ralph Garman time. Taking a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
Hey, have you ever said to yourself, I'd like to listen to the Showbiz Beat for about 2 hours and have Ralph be really drunk while he does it and have a guy who's really stoned sit next to him and say funny things?
No.
Well, unlike most people, Kevin, most people have said that.
Most people have said
that. And here's
okay.
the answer to their problems. It's called Hollywood Babylon, and it happens at the Improv on Melrose tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Me and Kevin Smith taking the stage. First time in a couple weeks, so it's going to be good to get back up there again. And then we take it on the road, so we won't be around for a while. If you'd like to come out and see Babylon, we'd love to see you tomorrow night, 10 p.m. You can go to theimprov.com for tickets.
It's the
Improv on Melrose. And Rodney might show up. He might wander
Didn't
off the Sunset
like
Strip.
It.
He might wander off the Strip and just stumble onto Melrose. The next thing you know, he's sitting there going, all right, more monkey news. Just yelling from the audience. It'd be awesome.
Oh, my God. No. Really?
Yeah, I ordered that Monkees album.
You did?
Oh,
good,
did you?
Good times, yeah. It arrives today. I'm very excited about it.
All right. I can't say it's good times if it hasn't arrived yet.
That's the name of the album.
The album.
I thought you were reviewing it.
I thought you were saying good times. I got the new album. That makes sense too, right, everybody?
Sure it does, Kevin.
Oh, Kevin.
We're gonna have to hear that at half speed
probably.
At some point.
And here are the Monkees.
See, that's what I'd say.
Good times.
Yeah. Rivers wrote a song on there, and Ben Hibbard and
Ben Gibbard, both of them.
Ben Gibbard.
And Rivers.
And Rivers. Cuomo. So, I'm looking forward to that. Sad news to kick off Showbiz Beat. Johnny Depp has had a bad week. First, his mom passed away on May the 20th, and then his wife, Amber Heard, filed for divorce. After just 15 short months of marriage. They had no prenuptial agreement. Oh, Johnny.
What is wrong with you people?
Johnny.
Where did they get married? Does that make a difference?
Sometimes, yeah, depending on how you split up property.
Well, she's requesting spousal support at the very least, so who knows what it's going to cost him. But word is that Johnny's family and Amber Heard did not get along, and that was part and parcel of why they had a hard time in their marriage, but that's a bad week. Lose your mom and then your wife.
Yeah,
same week. So, my heart goes out to Mr. Depp.
Who gets the dogs?
Oh, good question. I think Australia.
Australia. You kept them?
I think they get them. Hey, are you like me? Do you long for the days of the spaghetti western? I used to love the spaghetti westerns, the old-time Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns. Sergio Leone, of course, the Italian director who made them famous. Kevin, you remember some of those films, right? Some of those classic spaghetti western films?
I don't.
Like, you know, just name
like
one of them.
Like High Noon at the OK Corral.
Like that one. That was a good
right?
one. Or The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Sure.
A Fistful of Dollars for a Few Dollars More. Well, his wife, his daughter, Raffaella Leone, still owns the company that produced those films, and they said they're going to work on a new Western TV series. About time we had a new Western series called Cult. About a cult six shooter that passes from person to person in the Old West, and each episode will be about a different owner. It's a cool idea. There was a show like that called The Gun or something.
Yeah. I was thinking that sounded very familiar.
Yeah, this will be sort of an Old West version of that, and I think that's a cool idea. I'm looking forward to seeing that. More TV news. The Americans has been renewed for a final two seasons.
Yes.
A fifth and a sixth, the network announced yesterday. There's still three episodes left in this season. Then the fifth will air in 2017 and the sixth in 2018. This gives them plenty of time to wrap up their storyline and give us a satisfying ending to the story of the two Soviet spies living as Americans in the Washington, D.C. suburb area during the Reagan administration. So,
does anyone watch that but Kevin and me?
No.
Oh, love it.
So good.
So
good.
So good. The weekly ratings, they usually say two.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Just us.
That's
a bummer.
The ratings. How did Americans this week? I got a two.
That's a bummer because it's great.
It's so great.
I've heard that, and again, just no time.
And you would love it, loving spy stuff.
I got
too,
no time!
Right? I'm just saying.
He is just saying.
That's true. He is just saying.
You mostly just watch Alice when you go home after work, right?
There's a new girl in town, and she's feeling good. Come on,
are
Alice.
Are we the only two people that loved Alice?
Yes.
So.
Come on.
Come on, Mel's Diner?
Just...
Good point, Kevin.
I'm with him.
Right, Bean?
Thanks for your input.
I mean, he nailed it.
See, here's the thing about Babylon on Friday nights. There's a lot less that. A lot less moments where someone during the show will say, this. Just, there's a lot less single words.
I shook my head, though, and
you
that
did.
Works on the radio.
That does. That comes in handy.
That's good on the radio.
Speaking of spies, who will be the next James Bond? Who?
Better be Tom Hiddleston.
You know,
that's a great idea.
You know, Ladbrokes.
Yeah, sure. The betting parlor in Britain.
Yes, it is the.
It's happening.
It's a what? Famous. It's a famous bookie. It's a famous.
Okay.
And
Bean's
wagering.
A famous gambler.
Well, no, but yeah. You've heard of it.
He's
like
a riverboat gambler.
Like you've
hello,
heard of.
Hello, sir. I am Bean Baxter. I'm here to place a wager, Mr. Ladbrokes. I left my derringer at the door with your hat check girl. they're taking bets. They're taking bets.
On who's going to be the next James Bond.
On who's going to be the next James Bond. Now, here's the thing. They have frozen all wagering on Tom Hiddleston. You can no longer place any money on him.
Because he's too much of a favorite.
Too much of a favorite, yeah.
What about Gillian Anderson.
She's also in the running. They said it could be a Jane Bond next.
Flavor, Flay!
Also in the mix, Idris Elba, of course, Tom Hardy.
Both
Tom
good choices,
Hardy.
By the way.
Yeah.
Charlie Manson.
Manson not up for the role. But interestingly enough, the news is that the producers of the Bond films, the Broccoli family, Broccoli and Wilsons, who produced those movies, have sat down and had talks with...
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
Yeah, no, he didn't make it. He didn't make the meeting. He was late.
Turd Ferguson.
Billy Elliot himself, Jamie Bell. Would be an interesting choice. They are having informal talks, the producers, about replacing Daniel Craig with Jamie. That he could be the next Bond, which would be a very different Bond. He's just 30 years old. Of course, he did get his big break playing the little boy who liked to dance ballet in Billy Elliot, but he went on to adult films like The Fantastic Four and others.
I don't like it.
But at 30, he would be the youngest Bond ever.
I don't like it either.
And
LAMB don't like it.
He seems slight.
Producers may be looking to make a young Bond.
Yeah, he has to bulk up a little
start
bit.
Young and have, you gotta be beefy to shoot that gun at somebody.
Well, he's just very...
Have you seen him lately? He's rugged. He's rugged.
Is he?
He played The Thing in the Fantastic Four movie, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah.
He's tough. He's a tough man. He's a manly man.
Who do you like, Ralph? You're a lifelong Bond fan. Who would you choose out of that
list? Goldberg would be my choice.
It's a great choice.
Unexpected.
Yeah.
Right.
I think she'd be terrific.
Okay.
Hide weapons in her hair. Just.
Just.
So anyway, put your wagers down at Ladbrokes, that famous betting parlor in the UK. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lauryn Hill is 41 years old today. Matt Stone, one of the creators of South Park, is 45 years old. Helena Bonham Carter, she's got a new movie coming out this weekend. Alice Through the Looking Glass, she's 50 years old today. Bobcat Goldthwait is 54 years old. Stevie Nicks, 68. Lenny Kravitz is 52 years old today. Remember Lenny, don't you, Kevin?
Nope.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
But if you see my butt, then there's a possibility that Lenny Kravitz is going to fall out, and nobody wants that.
Of your butt?
No.
I'm saying the other side.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Lenny Kravitz might fall out of your butt. What's he doing up there?
Ask him.
That's a good point.
Am I supposed to know?
And country singer Hank Williams Jr.
67. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Next Tuesday, this coming, the very next Tuesday that happens.
So this coming Tuesday.
This coming Tuesday. And also
how about
next
just Tuesday? How about just Tuesday?
Or Tuesday as well.
Uh-huh.
We are going to have some members of Prophets of Rage.
What?
In
when?
Studio. Tuesday.
When?
This Tuesday or next Tuesday?
Both.
Okay.
I believe both are correct.
So that's, for folks who don't recognize the name, that's the super group made up of members of Rage Against the Machine, Be Real from Cypress Hill, and Chuck D from Public Enemy.
Correct.
So who's coming in?
Don't know for sure yet.
Okay. Very excited.
Two of them.
Getting some details on that tour. And that's going to be when?
That is going to be June 3rd, I believe. They're playing at the Palladium, and I don't know much else about the tour.
Okay. Tuesday, though, on the Kevin Beach Channel.
Tuesday morning. The very next one that happens in the calendar, that's the date that they will
glad
be
glad you didn't make that confusing.
Okay.
Hey, how about an all-new Beans Death Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Beans Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head.
Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
I do love death. It's a weird week, though, because there are so many stories that are right on that razor's edge between hilarious and heartbreaking. So you're going to have to decide how these deaths hit you.
See, this is bad because you're the one picking and you don't have a good radar when it comes to that.
Well, let's see. Let's get started with 34-year-old Dr. Maria Stridham. She made news recently because she announced that she and her husband were planning to climb Mount Everest to prove that vegans can do anything and more. They had already climbed the six other highest peaks in the world, by the way, so we're talking about experienced mountain climbers. But she thought that vegans get a bad rap. She says it seems that people have this warped idea of vegans being malnourished and weak. We've all heard stories of people getting frostbite and having to turn around while climbing the mountain that can lead to life-threatening situations and death. Well, I think you can already guess where this story is going.
Sure.
She's one of the three people who died last weekend on Mount Everest because she was feeling weak and suffering from a loss of energy, and she died. So she didn't really so much prove that vegans can do everything, but that vegans can do almost everything. Sad, right?
Yes, but okay.
But, I mean, she did kind of put it out there, right?
She did. I mean, she's sort of on her.
Maybe have a hamburger before you climb Mount Everest, I think is the message.
The kids approve.
Wow.
In a million years, when you wake up in the morning, you don't expect you are going to get killed by a walrus. But that is what happened to two people at a Chinese wildlife park last week. A male tourist was visiting the Zhangzhou Wildlife Park in the Shandong province when he lost his footing and tumbled into the walrus pool. So there's a zoo employee, a walrus trainer, who's there nearby. He jumps into the water to save the visitor. What happens? But the walrus comes up, wraps its arms around both men, and then goes underwater and keeps them down there until they drown. The people who were watching from the shore thought the walrus was just demonstrating playful behavior. And other trainers there did not think that the men were in harm's way. They thought, hey, how fun.
How long is this playing going to go on where they're underwater?
How do you lose your footing and fall into a walrus pond?
That's a great question.
Well, I
mean,
you think
there'd be some type of fence
or
wall?
A barrier or something.
Yeah, because, I get that this is a wildlife park and not a zoo, but it does seem like animals as big as walruses, I feel like, would be dangerous. Like, it's not the type of thing you can just let them roam around the area.
Well, I feel like this story proves that.
I think so, too. They love to hug you, though.
Yeah.
Yes, I think they do.
By hug.
By the way, this walrus weighs 3,300 pounds.
Yeah. Wow.
How about that? Here's another animal death, by the way. This is a pop star in Taiwan, I want to say, who was famous for performing with snakes. She was on stage. 29-year-old Irma Buell was on stage dancing and singing with a cobra that she thought had been defanged.
Isn't that something you double check?
I would think so. This is just like, don't assume the gun is not loaded, too, by the way. In her second song, the accident happened in the middle of her second song when she stepped on the snake's tail and the snake bit her on the thigh. But let me tell you what a trooper Irma is. Talk about going out doing what you love. Despite being fatally bitten, she continued to sing for another 45 minutes before she collapsed in front of a stunned audience. So did she just not think it was that serious? Did she think, oh, I know I got bit, but maybe the venom didn't get inside? What are you supposed to go through her mind? Because I would think if you get bit by a king cobra, you take that seriously.
I would think so, too. But if she thought it was, I don't know what could have possibly been going through her mind.
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe she thought it was defanged, so she thought, oh, even though it bit me, there's nothing going wrong with me.
Right. And then she started slowing down.
That's not good. That is a terrible show, by the way, if you're watching this lady sing and she starts vomiting on stage, having a seizure, and then dies in front of you. Plus, I mean, what do you do for an encore, right? Here's a story that also involves an animal. This is a Russian-born newlywed who murdered her German husband and then began feeding strips of his flesh to their dog until he died.
That is not on this side of the line that we enjoy.
No.
They believe she was on cocaine. She was high and drunk at the time. They got into an argument, and she cut up her husband. She stabbed him. He was still alive. Then she started cutting pieces of him up and off and handing them to their Staffordshire Bull Terrier Trigger, who ate and ate and ate. Okay, you had enough of that one?
Yes! Too much information.
Again, by the way, they were newlyweds.
Yeah, he should have maybe seen the writing on the wall with that one.
I feel like,
that probably didn't come out of nowhere.
All right, I'm going to end on a happy note. Good. In the grand tradition of dying doing what you love. Allie McKay, you've probably done it in a lot of parked cars, I would imagine, right?
Oh, mostly.
Seems like your speed.
Yeah.
Here's a couple in an SUV in Hackensack, New Jersey over the weekend. They were doing it in a 2002 Chevrolet Tracker with New York license plates on Overlook Avenue in Hackensack, New Jersey. I don't know. Is it still cold this time of year in New Jersey? Maybe so, but they had the engine running, and the couple died of carbon monoxide poisoning, and that's how they were found, in loving embrace of each other and of death.
Were they in love with death?
No, I'm saying they were in loving embrace with each other, and they were also in the sweet, sweet arms of death. So that's how they died. It's just they pull over for a quickie, and the next thing you know, you got the engine running, carbon monoxide gets into the car, and you die.
She's like, are you still
sleeping?
Still, what's happening?
I did wonder about that, Kevin. Like, who fell asleep first, and how ticked was the other person? They will be missed. This has been Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
1 hour from right now, the return of Weird Al Yankovic on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, it's been 384 days since he's been here.
Right.
I'm excited.
Right.
Where were you guys when you heard the news yesterday? The surprising news to me, anyway, that Johnny Depp and Amber Heard are now divorcing after only 15 months of marriage.
I didn't hear that yesterday. I heard that today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that always makes me wonder how long they've been having trouble or separated. Because usually it's about half that time.
Sure.
Yeah, usually there is some sort of a grace period when you're a newlywed where you go, okay, even if this isn't exactly what I expected, we're going to work this out because we just got married and our plan is to stay together, right?
So they were together probably for less than a year before they realized it was over.
Having troubles, yeah. Well, Amber Heard filed for divorce yesterday. Allie, you and I had the exact same thought, which is, how is Nick going to take this? Kevin and Bean listener Nick, he's this guy. You know how competitive he is.
I want to win. I want to win this one. I want to win. I want to win so bad. It's like I go to sleep at night thinking how much I want to win in this matter. Like, I want victory. I want it, like, I want it like oxygen. I want victory on this. I want to win, like,
Right.
I want to win.
You want to win. So mm-hmm. I bet anything Nick has a plan on how he's going to win Amber Heard now that she is single. And we welcome him to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey,
hi,
Nick.
Guys.
Hey, Nick.
Hey,
Nick.
Amber Heard is fun. your favorite celebrity of all time, right? And crush.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I feel for her. Right. Divorce is always a complicated
and
thing.
If she needs a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah, but step up, son. Period. No.
After the appropriate period.
Yes.
That is sweet. Where were you when you found out, and what was your initial reaction?
I was out yesterday. I got Bean's tweet. I didn't get a chance to respond to it. I was kind of busy yesterday, but
Bean tweeted
out
you?
And my cousin texted to me. It was like totally surprising, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh. But were you a little bit happy? Were you going, okay, she's going to be available after she grieves in that appropriate time period?
I don't know. I don't think it's a good thing to say I'm, like, happy about it.
But you are.
You know, but it's, I don't know, like, she'll get past it in time. Eventually.
Right. And when she does, who's going to be there?
Well, I'd like to say... It's complicated, you know. I just don't want to be all selfish about it, you know.
I think that's a good way to go about it.
No, that's
he doesn't want to leap in right now. It makes him look callous.
He said she's had time to heal,
right?
Then he doesn't want to jump in. And I'm saying you might need to be a little bit more aggressive, just a little more aggressive than that. Otherwise, you'll always be just a friend.
Yeah,
you don't want to be in the friend zone with Amber Heard.
Who?
Yeah.
Amber Heard. You don't want to be in the friend zone. Hey, what did you think of Johnny Depp as a choice for her? Did you think they were a good couple together?
I mean, I understood why she liked him. He's Johnny Depp. I always really respected Johnny, you know. Mm-hmm. I always thought the world of him, you know. It's like, I got when they were together. I knew, I kind of got the attraction. It's not hard to understand. I just got tired of, like, all the whole TMZ kind of stuff about it. Just all the crazy, it was a very gossipy, you know, relationship, you know.
Well, you think you and Amber will be a little bit more low-key when you're together?
What?
You and Amber will be more low-key when you're together. You'll stay out of the limelight quite so much.
Yes, I'm sure I can just declare that right now, can I?
What do you think went wrong with their relationship, Nick, if you could diagnose it from afar?
Clearly the whole Australian dog thing had, you know, caused some drama. That was pretty obvious.
You think they fought over that?
What?
You think they fought with each other over that?
I think it didn't make things better. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend I know everything that happened. It's just that obviously had to, like, cause some, you know, some stress.
An international incident will tear a couple apart, trust me.
Yeah, you've said that many times, Allie.
So many times.
That's not a very sexy thing to go through.
No, right.
You know?
So Nick, what do you think Amber will get from you that she didn't get from Johnny Depp?
I get her. I do get her. Mm-hmm. And I am loyal to her no matter what. Nothing... anyone can say nothing. Anyone in Hollywood and the media, anyone can say, will make me turn my back on her.
What if she
Team Amber till mm-hmm. the end of time?
Right. What if she fights with your family, which is the rumor that we heard about Johnny Depp's family? What if she doesn't like your family?
My family fights with so many people. It doesn't matter.
Now, Nick, she in the past has been known to like the ladies. Are you willing to let her explore that?
I know all about that. Yeah.
Okay, take it easy. So you're fine to you're fine to share her with the ladies if that's what she wants.
I mean, I'm cool. I'm down with that. I am.
Okay.
Thumbs up on that. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
All ladies like ladies anyway, so.
So is that a thumbs up with her and other ladies, or with you involved with other ladies?
Me, her, you, other ladies. Thumbs up.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. So you're down with a threesome, not with the twosome, with just Amber and the other lady. I gotcha.
Now, when do you make your move? When do you know that she's had time to heal? Because what we were talking about before is maybe halfway through the relationship, they start having trouble. Maybe she's already done a lot of healing, and she's, you know.
Not right away, just... You feel it out.
Feel it out, sure.
Feel it out, you know.
Okay. How do you feel it out, Nick?
I don't know. It's like you can't be specific about it. You just kind of know, you know. It's just a gut feeling, you know.
Nick will know when it's time, by the way, because their hearts are in sync, you guys.
Does she know that? She will.
I'd like to say that, but like, come on, be realistic.
All right, before we go,
let's not
Nick.
Be realistic, or we wouldn't be calling you.
Before we go, Nick.
Okay, like realistic-ish, but not all the way. Okay.
Realistic adjacent.
Okay, right, good, exactly.
Okay.
What is your first? You're clearly not going to wait for Amber to contact you. So, what is your move to contact her? Are you going to write her a letter, or reach out on Twitter or Facebook?
I wish she'd get back on social media.
She's not.
She was on social media for a while because, like, there's a lot of people in Hollywood I've made a good impression on through social media. She just hasn't been on it.
On social media, you'd have an in and you would make a good impression.
I'd like to think so, yeah.
So what are you going to do? You're going to put a letter in the mail? I mean, how are you going to open this up?
I gotta finish like the story I'm writing for her and then just put it out.
Nick. No. That's like 10 years from now. She doesn't have somebody else is gonna swoop in.
That's another thing. That is how the way to her heart, you know, like through like an amazing story. That's how you woo her.
I'm worried about her looking at you as a colleague, though, as a business relationship rather than as a...
It's better to start that way. You know, you can't just like, you know, oh, hey, like I'm some guy off the street. I want to date you. No, it's like you've got to intellectually, stimulate her, you know?
I see, okay.
Something to offer before, you know, heading into the...
Close are you to finishing that script then, if it all depends on that?
Honestly, starting today, I feel like, you know, soon, because I have a lot of weight off my shoulder about it, you know?
I would feel like there's a lot of pressure on you because you need to finish it. That's your first move.
I'm going to totally get it done. That's another thing. All material that I had last year that got stolen, I totally rewrote it.
Okay.
Now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's relevant. Listen, we got to go, but...
It helps because, like... I totally would have finished with that thing had my last knock up stone last year.
Right, understood. All right, so you'll keep us posted when the project is done and how you're going to reach out to Amber because we don't want to read about it on TMZ. I feel like we know you well enough that we should hear it from you, Nick.
I mean, she really needs to get back on Twitter when she feels like it.
Okay.
I'm on Twitter today because, like, you know, there's probably some haters out there and screw them, you know.
Right. Yeah. Screw the haters. All right, Nick, we're pulling for you, man. We hope that this happens. We want to see this dream come true, okay, buddy?
Inappropriate time.
We meant that, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
All right. Best of luck.
Thanks, Nick.
Later, guys. Okay. Bye.
Jim Rome talks sports and how the Golden State Warriors are going to feel not being in the finals this year.
Yikes.
Potentially. We'll see. It's getting close. That's coming up in about 20 minutes, and then the great Weird Al joins us after that. I don't – I love cats. I don't have a cat right now.
Cats suck.
They're the
cats
worst.
Are awesome, but Kevin, I think I've got some good news for you.
Yes.
Part of the reason you think cats suck, I think, is that you never can tell what cats are thinking.
I can. They're always thinking that you're an ass and I belong everywhere. That's what they're thinking.
Well, for people who have been frustrated in the past how difficult it is to read your cat, like you've been confusing, listen to this report about a new product just out.
Since the beginning of time, cats have been an enigma. No one really knows what they're thinking.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Studies show they only meow in order to communicate with humans. So we set out on a mission to get to know them better. By analyzing different cat noises, we've designed a digital sensor that detects a cat's meow and uses a unique program to turn it into a human voice. Simply connect to our app and select your cat's new voice.
I'm sleepy.
The result, the world's first talking cat collar.
Come on.
Nope.
How genius is that?
This is rather fun.
It's rather fun. If you could tell what your cat is thinking, would that be fun?
Yeah, but doesn't it sound like a big old giant scam to you?
Well, let's find out, because the creator of the Catterbox, is that what it's called? What's the product called?
Catterbox.
I don't think that's it. The new cat collar, the creator, Derek Gordon, on the line with us right now. Hi, Mr. Gordon. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I apologize that my friend here said it sounded like a giant scam. I assume you're coming on to tell us that's not the case.
Oh, certainly not. Certainly not the case at all. This is quite scientific, and we've spent many long hours programming the various sounds that cats make when interacting with humans, and put it into a program which has allowed us to identify the feelings and emotions of cats, and then via the Catterbox collar, we're able to translate that into English. So for the first time ever, you can understand what your cat is talking about.
That is amazing. So if your cat is hungry or scared or wants to go outside or doesn't feel well or is tired, whatever it is, this is a shortcut.
Yes, the key is that through scientific study, we've come to realize that cats only meow in an attempt to express what they're thinking and feeling to their human companions.
Okay.
And so by simply extrapolating that information out, we've entered into an algorithm which is 95% reliable in terms of translating meows into understandable English.
Wow. So they may sound the same to us, but you're able to distinguish the differences between what they're saying. So what kinds of things have surprised you that cats have been telling you?
Well, there's the usual, of course, the things you believe a cat would say. I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm annoyed, I want to play, leave me alone. But they're capable of much more complex thoughts than even we imagined when we first started putting this together.
Oh, really?
It's a very exciting time for cat enthusiasts to be able to actually communicate with their cat.
What surprised you?
Well, if you like, I think the best demonstration is to have you interview one of our cats here, and then the cat will respond and we'll be able to hear what the cat feels about what you're saying.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So we've got mittens here.
Mittens. Okay.
Here. We've got the speakerphone on so he can hear you.
Okay.
So simply talk to Mittens and let's see what he thinks.
Can I go first?
Sure.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
All right. Hi, Mittens. How's your day, Mittens?
Shut up, bitch.
Whoa! What?
That is aggressive.
That is no way to talk to a lady, Mittens. And I apologize for that.
It's okay.
It's a little grumpy.
It's what Mittens was thinking.
Okay, I'll go next if you don't mind. Hey, Mittens, what do you think about this this invention that Mr. Gordon has come up with?
This guy's an asshole.
Wow.
Mittens.
Mittens is not a nice cat.
Kevin, you're up.
I'm shocked that he would feel that way.
Mittens.
All the time we've spent together.
Mittens, are you hungry or tired or something? Is that why you're being so rude?
I can lick my scrotum.
Okay, now it sounds like you're just bragging, Mittens.
Well, it's true. He can. I've seen him do that for hours.
Follow up. Doesn't that make you happy?
No.
Well, there you go. It seems to make him happy.
Well, so cats are exactly what we thought they were.
Lick it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Coleman Hell right there, by the way, playing the Troubadour on Tuesday. Or is it next Tuesday? Is it this Tuesday?
Just say Tuesday. Don't be dumb.
Oh sorry.
Jesus.
I heard it from a guy. I got confused. Jim Rome Talk Sports coming up right after the top of the hour. And then our friend Weird Al joins us right now. Ralph's got the Showbiz Bean here on a Thursday. What's going on, Ralph?
Under the sea. Under the sea. Down where it's wetter, that's where it's better. Take it from me.
Singing Little Mermaid hits?
That's right. That's what I'm doing.
Because
Disney has just announced the live-action Little Mermaid movie.
Yay!
After the performance of Jungle Book at the box office and the trailer for the live-action version of Beauty and the Beast with Emma Watson already taking the internet by storm, 92 million views in its first 24 hours.
Wow.
Disney has announced they're very excited about the prospect of turning Little Mermaid into a live-action movie. Okay, there might be a small hiccup.
Small? How small?
Well, Universal has announced they are making a Little Mermaid movie with Chloe Grace Moretz. Huh. So we're going to have competing Little Mermaid movies.
How does this happen
so
often?
Those are good times. Remember when we had 8 Snow White movies in theaters at the same time? That was fun. So it's going to be Disney's Little Mermaid versus Universal's Little Mermaid. Turns out when you make movies, like the animated movies, based on these fairy tales, these public domain children's stories, nobody owns the rights to them. So anyone can come along and make a Snow White movie or a Little Mermaid movie or a Cinderella movie because these stories have been around forever and there is no ownership of the rights.
I went to the Little Mermaid statue in Copenhagen when I was there. That was relevant to what we were discussing.
How?
Because you were talking about the public domain story from Hans Christian Andersen.
Right.
Famous.
Yeah.
How does it help us to know
that your tourism helps this story about movie making how exactly?
Well, it doesn't really speak to exactly to the movie being made, but it just talks about...
It speaks to you.
It just talks
and the insanity you that is your life.
You were able to turn it around back to you somehow.
That's
which
nice.
Is,
let's talk
which
about
is,
me.
Which is good for you, I guess.
I went to see a statue one time.
What about for the rest of us?
No, I'm just saying the little... what I was doing was...
Making it about you?
No. Was adding to the conversation about how beloved the Little Mermaid character is to point out that there's even a statue of the Little Mermaid that people... that. Travelers go to.
Bean, have you ever seen the Little Mermaid?
No.
Really?
Bean doesn't like animation.
He can't watch animated movies. But
so that makes this so much weirder.
I withdraw the comment. So there's going to be some Little Mermaid movies. Okay,
I feel like maybe you need to sit out for an hour.
Up on the land they work all day, out in the sun they slave away. While we're devoting full time to floating under the sea.
It is a great soundtrack.
It is a great soundtrack. Have you ever gone to that ride, Little Mermaid ride at California Adventure?
That's relevant.
Oh, sweet Jesus. It is the music from the Little Mermaid movie.
No, go ahead. Let's hear your story about how great the ride is. Because that helps a lot with the story about the movie.
Well, we were talking about the music from Little Mermaid. See, this is how conversation works, Bean. Sometimes you'll have conversation with people and then one thing will feed into another. I could have broken it and said, hey, I own shoes. I could have said that.
And she didn't because she didn't have feet.
Exactly, Allie. Once again, you crystallized my thoughts perfectly.
I'm sorry for the realness.
I'm sorry for the realness.
Everything Bean says is a dead end. There's just nowhere to go from there.
Hey, Kevin, you remember how you always said that Paul McCartney's band after the Beatles sucks?
Yes.
Wings, how they're terrible.
I think the songs that he's written recently sound like children's songs.
But I've heard you say
horrific.
Wings was awful.
Yeah.
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 Well, have you know that Sir Paul McCartney has an answer for you.
Okay.
Wings was terrible.
That's what he said.
That's what he said this week in an interview. To be fair, we weren't that good. He said we were terrible. We knew Linda couldn't play keyboards.
Oh, no.
But she learned. And looking back on it, I'm really glad we did it. But he admits that Wings was not very
wow.
Not very good.
Wasn't expecting that.
No one was, really.
I watched that interview, and he was talking about, after the Beatles, how he didn't want to play music anymore. But he thought, you know what, I'll go back to the beginning and get a group of guys and my wife together and just start from scratch and be terrible and learn on the job, because that's how we did it in the Beatles. There was a time when John Lennon was a terrible guitar player, but we worked together and we made it work. And he kind of wanted to recreate that experience, and that's what he did with Wings. And then they made silly love songs. And just whatever goodwill he had created up till that point was gone.
Look.
And that was way better than everything he's done since.
Wow.
Silly love songs is yesterday compared to Open the Door and Let Him In. That song is just BS.
That kills you, right?
Someone's knocking at the door, that one?
Someone's ringing the bell.
Do
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's ringing the bell. Do me a favor. Open the door and let him in. That was a song.
Really?
That was a song.
That was a hit, right?
Number
it was
three.
Huge song, number three.
Rain Man Knows.
The Speed of Sound.
1976.
What?
I saw a statue of a door once.
Hey, guys, Weird Al is in the building, so let's move along. Let's hurry this up.
We're not going to hurry this up because we're going to talk sports with Jim Rome first.
No, I'm going to have to bump that. I'm sorry.
Not happening.
Not going to have time for Mr. Rome today. Sorry.
Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I take the stage with Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. We always have a good time. We'd love to have you come out and join us. You can go to improv.com to see Kevin, very stoned, me, awash in a sea of Jack Daniels, and then chaos ensues. So it's worth checking out. We'd love to have you come join us. Go to improv.com to get your tickets for this.
Sorry, it's still a no.
This Friday night show. You'll have a good time. Today's celebrity birthday, Stevie Nicks, is 68 years old today. Country singer Hank Williams Jr.
Come on.
Is 67 years old. Our good friend Bob Scratch Goldfarb celebrates his 54th birthday today. Lenny Kravitz is 52. Helena Bonham Carter turns 50. Matt Stone of the legendary team of Matt and Trey, who created South Park, is 45 years old. And singer Lauryn Hill celebrates her 41st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I want to dedicate that song to the Kevin and Bean listener that we spoke with on the phone yesterday, whose name is Nirvana. Remember talking to her, you guys?
Yep.
It's pretty cool. Thursday mornings, just about this time, we talked to our good friend Jim Rome, host of the Jim Rome Show at jimrome.com. Romy, how are you today, sir?
Go Ducks.
Go Ducks indeed.
What's up, y'all? What's up, guys?
You know, I was thinking about this morning, Jim. Just like the political analysts and experts never saw Donald Trump coming, the NBA experts never saw what's happening in the Eastern and the Western Conference Finals right now. I mean, we could end up with Toronto versus Oklahoma City the way things are going. And I think people are very surprised, don't you?
Listen, Toronto, Oklahoma City, that's about as likely as Sanchez ending up as my co-host. It would be awesome and it would be hilarious, but after what went down last night, that's just not going to happen. Hey, can we be real for a minute? I mean, they pay me to talk junk and interview athletes every single day. It's the best job ever, but it's games like last night's game that make me want to quit my job. If there's ever been a worse basketball game in my lifetime, it's not coming to mind. Garbage time, 90 seconds in. That was a horrible game last night.
I'm now, this was Cleveland winning by like 40, right?
Yeah, by like 40. But they were up by like 40, like 40 seconds into the game. Ugh. And what makes it so hard, guys, it was when the series started, it looked like they didn't have the horsepower to hang with the Cavaliers, and it was going to be over in three games. And then all of a sudden, they go back up north, and it's Canada Day on my show. They thrash them. It's like my fridge is packed with a Molson Ice Sixer. I broke out my BlackBerry. We were bumping Rush on the program. It was all awesome. And then they come back for last night's beatdown. I'm very disappointed.
Toronto definitely surprised Cleveland for those couple of games. But what's going on in the West right now? I mean, we've been talking about how Steph Curry is the best basketball player of all time, possibly, certainly working his way into the conversation, talking about how the Golden State Warriors are the best team of all time. They certainly had the best regular season record of all time. What's going wrong so badly for them and okay?
You know, not to get all like basketball professor on anybody, but the fact is the game has always been a game of matchups, and it's just not a good matchup for Golden State. As good as they are and all that hype and all that heat, it was all real. They deserved all that, but it's not a good matchup because OKC is so freaking long. You look at these guys, Kevin Durant, Steven Adams, Serge Ibaka. I mean, they've got all wingspans of like 48 feet. And not only are they long, but they're athletic. And it's giving Golden State a lot of trouble, like it gave San Antonio a lot of trouble. And then you couple that with the fact that they just can't match their energy or aggressiveness. And I think Steph's kind of busted up. It's just a bad matchup and a bad deal. It does not look good.
Do you think that their regular season of setting that record wore them out?
No, I don't buy that.
You don't buy that.
People try and say that. I don't buy it. Now, what I will say is I think that OKC did something that you're not supposed to do. They flipped the switch. I mean, they're a totally different team right now than they were even 6 or 7 weeks ago. And I think they were saving something and not showing the league everything. And then when they got to the postseason, because they've been there before, they knew what to do and they flipped the switch. I just think it's not that Golden State's gassing out. They're just not as good as Oklahoma City right now.
So the Thunder are up 3-1 right now. Of course, it's possible Golden State will come back. Highly unlikely at this point, based on everything you've just said.
I would say they're in trouble, but they're not dead. I mean, they're not circling the drain just yet. They are the defending champs. They've won 73 games this season. I mean, that's no joke, 73, and they beat OKC all three times they've played them in the regular season, and they've got two at Oracle, which is a pretty hostile barn. So the fact is, they can heat up quickly. They look rattled right now, but if they get back in that rhythm, they're still dangerous. It's a big ask, but it's not impossible.
They do have to win three games straight. against Oklahoma City.
And I know, but if you throw all those, it's a lot to ask. It's a big, big ask, but not impossible. And, you know, this is where they go into their lame cliches, like one game at a time. And if we get one, then we can get it back there, and then there's another one. I'm just saying, if anybody else I would say is dead, but they're not dead yet.
All right, last question on this, and then we'll move on, and that is, if Steph Curry isn't hurt, as he says he's not, what's wrong with him right now? Why has he had one great quarter in this entire series against the Thunder?
It's a really good question. When he says he's not hurt, what he means is, I'm hurt. he's obviously not 100%. Look at him. He's just not right. So he's just not going to use that as an excuse. If you're out there, you can't say you're hurt because you're out there. But the biggest deal is, I think he's banged up, but the bigger issue is Russ Westbrook. I mean, this guy might be the most explosive player I have ever seen. In a league of freaks, he might be the freakiest athlete ever. And the guy puts so much pressure on a defense, and he's just wearing Steph out. And if Steph's not 100%, then he's really got a problem. It's mostly Westbrook, and in part, Steph's not right.
Talk to our friend Jim Rome from The Jim Rome Show at jimrome.com right now. All right, here's the headline. It raised some eyebrows this week. UCLA's Under Armour deal for $280 million is the biggest in NCAA history. Why should we care, Jim?
$280 million. That's stacks and stacks and stacks.
Yeah.
The reason you should care about that is because you've got their star quarterback, Josh Rosen, and no sooner than that deal goes down, he Instagrams the headline of the deal, and he drops this. And I quote, "We're still amateurs, though. Gotta love nonprofits. Hashtag NCAA. Our kids, we have a phrase to describe that. Straight freaking fire. All right? That's not some scrub or some walk-on popping off. That's a stud. And it takes stones to spit that kind of fire. And the thing is, the guy's right. They deserve compensation, especially when the schools are stacking cash like that. I mean, that's a big-time thing for a guy like that to say.
This has been a conversation for a long, long time. Does something change now?
Forever. Not yet. But it's like, for a lot of people, it's a reason to go, because people would say, hey, wait a minute. Hold up now. You are paid. You get free room and board. And my argument to that is, yeah, they do. They do, but we're talking $280 million. And it's got a lot to do with the athletes themselves, especially a guy like that. But then again, it doesn't surprise me. This is the cat who showed up on a golf course with a bleep Trump hat on and Instagrammed it. This is the cat who had a hot tub in his dorm room. So he's getting after it on and off the field, and I love it because normally nobody will say anything.
I would social have partied media, with him.
You do, Ellie.
If I was in college, he would have been my dream man. Absolutely.
Social media is
what are you looking for in a man, Ellie?
Oh, all right. Let's go there.
What are you looking for in a man, he asked.
I'm good right now. Let's move on, Jim.
Come on, Allie. You can start conversations you don't want to have.
Up, right?
Come on, Allie. Go Ducks, Allie.
Jim, will there be any kind of repercussions against Josh? Because it does kind of make the school look bad to point out, hey, look how many millions you're making off of our backs.
Yeah, I think the blowback is probably, if I try to get him on my show before he said that, I probably could. Now I probably can't. I'm sure they will go to him and say, hey, bro, can you dial that down just a little bit? But again, this is a guy that is not afraid to say it. So I don't think there's any serious repercussions. But they may go to him and say, come on, man, stay down. Stay in your shoes for a little while. Let's just kind of ride this thing out.
I think you're right. I think there's a lot out in his future. All right, jimrome.com is where you want to go to hear the show. Three excellent hours of sports talk every day from 9 until noon, jimrome.com. Have yourself a great week, man. Go get something to eat.
You're legendary. I'm out.
Are you ready for Weird Al Yankovic?
Indeed, Friday and Saturday night, July 22nd and 23rd at the Hollywood Bowl. Tickets are on sale now for the return of the Mandatory World Tour. Please welcome Al back to the studio here on the show.
How are you guys?
What's up, Al? How you been, my friend?
I've been well. Been busy. I've been doing the media route, and we're heading on the Mandatory Tour next week for 4 months straight.
How long were you out with leg one?
Leg one was 5 months, so this year is 4 months. So we're kind of slacking this year.
And you played a bunch. If I remember correctly, you played a bunch of countries that you hadn't played at or hadn't been to in a long time last time, right?
Yeah, we did a European leg. People are like, this year we're just doing North America. Like, this is not a world tour. It's just the U.S. and Canada. Like, we did the world last year. Like, chill. So, yeah, we did like Sweden and Denmark and Belgium and quite a few European countries that I either hadn't been to or hadn't played in yet. So it was a lot of fun. Some people there had been waiting for 30 years for us to show up, so it was pretty cool.
You ever go behind the Iron Curtain? Have you, like, played Russia?
No, we had an offer, I think, in the 80s, and we didn't follow up on
probably
that.
Probably a good choice.
Yeah.
You may have still been there. Probably smart.
Yeah.
Is there any place in the world, Al, you go where people don't know who you are?
There are parts of Fresno.
Fresno,
yeah.
Okay.
I would not
so have just certain parts
that.
Of that town?
Just certain neighborhoods.
Do you have an anonymous place you can go on vacation, for instance, where you don't have to worry about fans?
My family has a place on Maui, so that's where it's kind of our default place, because there's a lot of places we'd like to visit, but we've got a place in Maui. So
it's tough to ignore, yeah.
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 How did that rock and roll all-star jam that you're part of in Hawaii develop?
Oh, the Alice Cooper thing.
Alice
Cooper is always in Hawaii over the holidays, and
like you'd think,
huge golfer,
and he does a yearly thing on New Year's Eve for the Maui Food Bank to raise money for the food bank, and so it's always like him and Steven Tyler and usually me and I think Michael McDonald and a few other people, and we do a charity concert at a small restaurant there, and it sells out in about 3 seconds, and it's always a great jam.
Maybe you should move to a medium sized restaurant.
Maybe you should.
What's that like for you, a guy who kind of in his own lane does his own thing, to now be collaborating with, you know, these great singers and musicians? Is it fun? Does it feel like you're stretching a little bit?
It feels like, you know, rock star fantasy camp. It's like just, you know, I still remember like 1976, I was in high school and I was watching Alice Cooper at, I think it was Angel Stadium. I was like watching from binoculars like 3 miles away, and I'm on stage with them hanging out. It's just like, it's just surrealistic. It's bizarre.
Do you get starstruck sometimes, Al?
Yeah, I mean, not, you know, the people that really kind of affect me still are the people that I idolized as a kid. Like, most people I can be pretty, you know, pretty chill with, but I've met Paul McCartney a couple times, and I can't, like, be normal with him.
You can't relax with him?
No, well, yeah. I try. I make every effort, but it's sort of like my brain's always going, it's Paul McCartney!
I feel like that is his experience with everybody in the world.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm sure he just wants to be totally normal, just probably have a human interaction. But it's hard.
But one can.
Yeah.
And isn't it something, because we've been lucky enough to have Paul on this show before, too. And, I mean, he's the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
You couldn't ask for more from a guy. But you can't relax, and you can't just have a normal conversation with him because you're freaking out that he's a Beatle. And that must be so weird for him.
I bet, yeah.
Mandatory World Tour. At the Hollywood Bowl, I understand the orchestra is going to be there?
Yeah, we just finished the arrangements. The orchestra, the Hollywood Bowl orchestra, is going to be performing the entire show with me.
That's,
every single
that's
song.
Huge.
Yeah, I always thought that Smells Like Nirvana needed a string section, so it's going to work out. Yeah.
Have you ever played the bowl before?
Not as a headliner. I was on stage doing the Simpsons thing, Simpsons Take the Bowl, a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to go on and sing the song that I sang on the Simpsons, which was the Homer and Marge to the tune of Jack and Diane. So that was a lot of fun. So I can say I've played the bowl already, but this is the first headlining thing.
How tough is that to do that, to write scores and whatnot for an orchestra for your songs? I mean, it sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, that's why I didn't do it. So
somebody else did it?
Yeah, there was an arranger that works with the orchestra, and I supervised it. I, you know, met with them, told them like where we wanted the orchestra to come in, where we wanted them to lay out, and you know, broad notes like that, and he did all the heavy lifting.
I feel like the orchestra has to be made up of people who aren't necessarily down with, because I'm fat. You know what I mean? Canadian, they just don't seem like they would have a sense of humor.
I don't think they give them a choice. They don't say, do you want to play with this person?
They just make them do it.
Yeah.
All right.
It's kind of a job.
Okay.
I've heard of those things.
So you think there are a lot of orchestra members, Kevin, who are going home and screaming at their spouses,
I don't know.
You don't know how hard my job was today.
I don't know. It must be a switch up for sure.
So Friday and Saturday night, July 22nd and 23rd at the Hollywood Bowl, tickets are on sale now. You can go to weirdal.com. Is it possible
possible that tickets start at just $14?
Is it?
That's what our records
say. I think that's the parking lot seats.
Okay. I hope so. I hope so, because that's there's something wrong if you can see
that's
Weird
for the
Al.
That's the magic castle. You can just listen.
Right.
Exactly. Tickets are on, so now we're going to give some away in a few minutes. We have much more to talk to our friend Al about, including the new season of Comedy Bang Bang, which... Is it true that it's your favorite show on TV, or did you just tell Aukerman that to get the job?
It's one of my favorite shows, absolutely.
It's so good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nonsense, and it's the best kind of nonsense. We love it.
People have been asking me all week to describe the show, because, like, very few people have actually seen it.
But it's not possible.
You can't.
It's hard to describe the show. Bean, how would you describe the show?
Well, here's what we've always said when we have Scott on is if you see one episode of the show, you will not understand how it ever made the air. It's like a guy is doing a show in his basement and there are no bad ideas.
Right.
That's what the show's like.
That's very
then
good.
Then you see the second show and it's just as weird, but it's completely different. Like one show is time traveling. The next show is a Renaissance fair. And the next show, everybody's dressed up as furries. I mean, you get hooked on it because you never know what to expect minute to minute. It's crazy.
We actually did an episode about it this season, but it's kind of nice that it's not like a super popular show because we fly under the radar. We can get away with stuff that a popular show never would be able to get away with.
I don't doubt that. Season 5 premiere of Comedy Bang Bang is going to be next Friday, June 3rd. Weird Al is the new co-host and band leader along with our friend Scott Aukerman. And we'll talk more about this and so much more with Al when we return right after this on camera. Our friend Weird Al in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Again, tickets are on sale now to see the man himself, the return of the Mandatory World Tour at the Hollywood Bowl in July. Go to weirdal.com. Tickets start at just $14. You're doing something I don't recall you doing on previous tours, Al, where you have a new VIP tier of ticket that one can buy. What's that all about?
Oh, we started that at the beginning of the tour. Yeah, there's a few different tiers. There's a minister of propaganda that has a little VIP party for the fans before the show. And this year they're adding like a little mini Weird Al museum, so I gave them a bunch of like wardrobe and memorabilia, which they will have in glass cases.
Really?
Oh
yeah.
And then guards with guns?
Yeah, right. Insured for millions of dollars. And then afterwards, there's meet and greets and all sorts of other crazy stuff. So, yeah, there's, you know, you can amend your $14 experience with something more special if you like.
How do you like that? How do you like that on show night to also have the responsibility of now I've got to meet and entertain 100 people in person?
Well, normally I would go, you know, hang out at the bus after the show anyway. So it's just, you know, it's just more people to hang out with.
Right.
It's a good way to kind of like, you know, cool down because after the show, I can't go to sleep for 7 or 8 hours.
So much adrenaline.
Yeah, absolutely.
We mentioned Comedy Bang Bang. It's coming back for season 5 a week from Friday. 2 episodes every Friday night, right?
They're doubling it up. Yeah, every the first 10 shows, they're going to double it up and have 2 world premieres every Friday night.
Now, this is one of the undiscovered gems on television, Comedy Bang Bang. It is so great. Our listeners have heard us talk about it a lot. And Reggie Watts was the band leader for the first, what, like 3 seasons?
First 3.5 seasons, yeah.
And then Kid Cudi came in. And now it's Al time.
Yeah,
it's Al time.
So are you – how do you approach a gig like that you already have had, you know, people kind of doing it before? I mean, you're obviously doing your own thing, but what went through your mind as you started filming?
Well, I wanted to do justice to both Reggie and Cudi because, I thought they were the gold standard. They did an excellent job, so I wanted to emulate them as much as I could but also bring my own thing to it. So I wanted to get back to what Reggie was doing. He had his looper. He
right.
did a lot of cool vocal stuff.
And you seem to use that really well.
Yeah, so I got the same equipment, and I learned how to use it, so I kind of, like, did my best kind of Reggie.
You were teaching yourself to use the equipment
yeah.
so that you could do it like him.
Yeah, and then I also added my own thing. Like, for every celebrity guest that comes out, he wrote them a stupid little theme song. So that was my own little thing that I added to the show. But, you know, it was fun for me to get into it because I thought the show played to my strengths. It was a lot of music and improv and sketch comedy and just weirdness. And it just felt like, you know, okay, I'm home.
This is where I belong.
Yeah.
What was the craziest sketch that you filmed for season 5? Because, I mean... Are you a dinosaur? I mean, what did you do? Because there's always some that you're like, you go home at the end of the night and you go, I just can't believe that was made.
Yeah, if you look at my Instagram account, I all the odd characters that I play on the show are somewhere in there. There's one that we did near the end where I play like a boxer that gets beat up a lot. And I won't tell you the premise of the sketch, but I'm pretty much unrecognizable. I look like I've just like been beaten to a pulp. So that's always fun.
Friday night, June 3rd, the first of 2 new episodes for season 5. Here's a clip of Weird Al on Comedy Bang Bang with Scott Aukerman.
How are you fitting in here?
Everyone's been so nice to me.
Everyone?
Well, not you, but... Oh, hey, you know what I was thinking?
Ooh, what? Oh. I was hoping you knew.
You were hoping I knew what you were thinking?
Yeah, I was hoping you could read my mind. It'd be so cool if you were telepathic.
Oh, sorry, I'm not.
It's all right.
Oh, but you know what I was thinking?
Yeah.
You do know what I'm thinking?
Yeah, I'm telepathic. I was hoping you also had the gift that is both my blessing and my curse.
Oh, sorry, I'm not telepathic. I am telekinetic, though.
Who cares?
Okay, all right. See what I mean? It's just nonsense. The whole show is just nonsense.
It's beautiful nonsense.
It really is. And just when you think it can't get more bizarre,
yeah.
Wait a second.
Yeah, it'll get more bizarre.
So good.
All right, Al, let me think. What else did we want to ask you about? Oh, what's the update on the nationwide petitions every year to get you to play the halftime at the Super Bowl? What have you heard about that lately?
I don't know. I'm not going to hold my breath on that. I think that kind of gets drummed up every year.
By Bean?
By Bean.
Lots of people.
Yeah,
by lots of people. For the record, mostly it's Bean.
I just kind of have a feeling I'm never going to be in the NFL shortlist, so I'm not going to get worried about it quite yet.
What if they came to you and said, we want you to do halftime? How would you even approach that?
Well, after my 5 diarrhea attacks, I...
All right.
I don't know. I'd have to give that some serious thought, but I'm not going to waste energy on it until that happens.
All right. It's something you want, though. I mean, look, you won't...
Well, I wouldn't turn it down. Let me put it that way.
What else does he want, Bean?
Tell me what I want.
Yeah, what do you want, Al? What is left? Look, you ticked off the number one album box last year, finally, after so long. What's left in your career that you haven't done? You've won all the Grammys. You've done all the sold-out tours. You've had TV shows. You've had movies. What's left you really, really want to do?
Have I done a Broadway musical yet? I should do that.
Do a Broadway musical.
Ooh!
Okay.
That's happening
those
already.
Are easy and no, don't take a lot of time.
Sometime in the next 30 years. That's my plan.
That's a great plan.
Thank you.
All right. Not too much pressure.
No.
Sometime in the next 30 years.
Yeah.
You also talked about when you made the last album, the Mandatory Fun album, that was the end of your what seemed like a lifetime contract with Epic Records.
Yes, that was my mic drop, yes.
Right. For the first time, you were unencumbered by working for the man, and you could do your own thing.
And
one of the things you talked about at that time is now I don't have to schedule it with a big company, and I don't have to wait for a release date. I can just make something in the morning and put it out in the afternoon if I want to. Where the hell is that material?
Bean's looking for it every single day.
I've been busy, Bean.
I know you've been busy.
Doing the Comedy Bang Bang.
Right, but wasn't that the whole point of being, you know, getting out from under the yoke of the man? Is that now you can do your own thing at your own pace? I mean,
own pace is very leisurely.
Have there been times in the last year and a half where you've said, oh, this is it. I got to write this song and I got to put it out.
Obviously not.
Okay. All right.
No, I'm gonna wait till after the tour. I'm going to because we're still doing the Mandatory Fun tour, and I wanted to kind of like really exploit the album as much as I possibly could. I wring every little bit out of it.
So there are 4 months of that.
Yeah. And then after that, then I will proactively be looking for new material.
Are you a guy who you write when you sit down and make it your job to write, or do ideas come to you all the time and you just keep them in a little notebook? Until you're ready for them.
More the former because I don't always think of ideas. I don't listen to the radio and go, oh, I'd love to screw this one up. You know, it's something that it's more often that I just like analyze the charts or I make a list, and I'm really big on making lists. So that's
why Bean loves you.
Yeah,
that's right. Bean loves lists.
Nothing better than a list. Yeah.
All right. We're almost out of time. Kevin, we got to give away some tickets here to see Al at the Bowl. Pick a number between 1 and 100, please, Weird Al.
Okay.
now share it with us.
99.
Oh,
all right, good.
All right, that's a lot of fun for the poor schmuck who has to answer the phones. 1-800-520-1067. If you are a caller 99 right now, you will win a 4-pack of tickets to see Weird Al as he takes the Hollywood Bowl July 22nd. Tickets are on sale now, the 22nd and 23rd at weirdal.com. All right, any final thoughts, sir?
Action figure. How about that?
Yeah, plug the action figure out.
You have an action figure.
Nika. Is it Nika or NECA? Or I don't know how to even say it. It's NECA.
Well, say it the right way.
Okay,
that was concerning.
It's very different.
We weren't sure what you were going to say.
They are putting out an entire line of Weird Al action figures, and the first one is just hitting stores right now. It's the generic Weird Al Yankovic, but it comes with two heads. It's got the current Al head, and it's got the iconic 80s Al head with glasses.
You can just pop it off and put on whichever head you want.
The 80s afro. The 80s hair is so good.
good.
It's so good with the glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bean, I don't even want to know what you're doing with your Riddle action figure.
I refuse to take it out of the box. I will tell you. I do not want to mess it up. By the way, we got a I know you got to go, but we had a chance to see 80s Al back on our TV this season on the Goldbergs.
Oh, that's
which
right.
Was so fun. Al, you know, that show, Kevin, is set in the 80s.
Right.
And Al was on playing himself in the 80s. And it was so uncanny, Al. I know I'm not the first person to tell you this, that you look exactly the same now as you did then.
Thank you.
Never age.
I'm told I'm the only person that they've allowed to play themselves back in the 80s. But, yeah, it was like I was putting on a Weird Al Halloween costume. I had the glasses and the fake mustache and a Weird Al wig. Like, you know,
it was a pretty cool sweet wig.
It was fun. And Adam Goldberg is just the best. And at the end, they show a clip of Adam Goldberg pretending that he's me. He's doing, like, a Weird Al dance in the hallway. And they dedicated the show to me. It was very sweet.
That show is
very
magic. Nice.
It's such a great show. And it's insane how many of those stories really do come from the real-life guy. And he has video to prove it.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's remarkable. Every year at Halloween, you put up hundreds of pictures, it seems like, from people who go as Weird Al at Halloween. Has that always been going on as long as you've had a career, Al?
I guess, although it seems like there's more these days, but it's always the old school Al. People dress up like me for Halloween, but it's always like the 80s version. Yeah.
I got to tell you, you look pretty good in the 80s.
Oh, thanks.
That's a pretty good look.
You disturbed a lot of people when you got LASIK, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, people are still like, why don't you put your glasses back on? Like, well, I don't need to.
All right, Al. Well, it's great to see you, man. I hope to catch you out on the road this summer. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Always, thank you, man.
It's always a thrill. Stay well, my friend.
Okay.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
What's...
Oh, did he die in the parking lot?
Why the...
That'd be awesome.
How?
Why are the taps?
Don't even suggest that. Al will never die, first of all.
He pulled out on the main thoroughfare and just, boom, semi.
Don't even joke about that, man.
Well, why else would there be taps being played?
Because
that means death.
It means ultimate sadness, the death of comedy. Why go on? I'm practically dead because now it's going to be another year until we have Al on the show. That's why.
You don't even know his name.
You just called him Adam.
That's how upset I am right now.
Whatever that guy's name is, he likes him.
Weird Adam. Not nearly as good. Sort of like a cover band.
It's so not catchy.
It's a terrible cover band.
Like
right?
A sturgeon about fish instead of a doctor.
What I'm saying is it's the death.
Because it's like a surgeon, Al. He does Like a Surgeon was the song by Weird Al.
Yeah,
Weird Adam does a song called Like a Sturgeon.
We got it. Not as good. Close, but not as good.
Yeah, Al's still confused.
Although Al had a song called Close But No Cigar, so that applies here, too. All right, well, I miss Al, but Ralph is here now with another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
It's just... Ralph, you didn't have to hear Bean off the air. When Al came in, he was listing all of the DJs that he was really mad at because they didn't interview Al in a way that was acceptable to Bean.
Literally. And that one guy in Boston. He's horrible.
That numbnuts. He's
that numbnuts.
Let me bore you with tales of radio shows you're not on right now.
He had listened to them and he was mad on Al's behalf. Al, not angry at all.
In a perfect Asperger storm where Bean could just list call letters from radio stations and DJ names and Weird Al at the same time and got out a map and there were red pins.
Oh, Lord. When Al said he likes to make lists, wow, I just thought Bean's head was going to explode.
Gosh, if he could have a boner.
It wasn't his head that exploded. Trust me.
All right, let's move on because you're selling something that was otherwise perfect.
Remember the Al times?
Yeah, I do remember the Al times. Those were the good times.
Yeah. Al City should be the name of the cover band for Weird Al, right?
I like it.
Yeah. If you're on The Biggest Loser, you will die.
What?
Well, at the very least, you will lose all your money and gain all your weight back. That's what Suzanne Mendonca says. She was on The Biggest Loser 9 years ago, and she's fat again.
Hey, Tubby. Want another Pop-Tart, Tubby?
And she is very upset about it.
Well,
she says The Biggest Loser ruined her life and made her fat, unhealthy, and flat broke. Now she's suing The Biggest Loser because, yes, she lost a ton of weight on season two of The Biggest Loser and got very thin and very in shape. But now she's fat again, and that's their fault.
How is
I'm
that
not following.
Their fault? Find a person who hasn't gained weight in 10 years, for God's sakes. It happens.
Well, no, it didn't happen because she can't control her eating habits or
doesn't exercise. It's because she went on The Biggest Loser, and they malnourished her, and they forced her to exercise to the point of exhaustion. And what they did was they destroyed her metabolism. Now her metabolism doesn't work right because The Biggest Loser's abusive practices. So she's going to sue.
This sounds as bogus as they get.
Mm-hmm. She's going to sue. Look, don't most people who go on crash diets gain the weight back?
Yes.
Yes,
okay.
Almost all.
Isn't that just
Yeah, diets are not the way to keep weight off.
And she said the show ruined her life.
Hmm.
So she's corralling other contestants. Oh, it's a big room. And they're going to file a class action lawsuit.
We're going to meet outdoors,
Omar. Dying laughing back there.
Here's what she had to say to TMZ.
Well, nobody ever wants to say how much weight they gained, but I gained, after The Biggest Loser was done, I gained back about 150 pounds.
What specifically did they do during production to mess with the contestants' weights?
Well, they were doing production. They actually dehydrated us. They told us not to drink for 48 hours before a weigh-in. We would only eat 800 calories a day, and wow. We'd actually work out 8 hours a day. And if you were me, I vomited every single day. They didn't seem that there was a problem with that. And all the contestants did because of the severe exertion levels that we couldn't keep up with. It was exhausting and terrible practices going on at The Biggest Loser.
You're still dieting, right?
Well, the reason why I gained my weight back is 100% The Biggest Loser. There is no question. There's a research that just came out that it just disturbed and ruined our metabolic rate. They ruined us. They washed our hands of us. They discarded us like yesterday's trash. They need to be responsible for this bull.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel terrible that they dragged her out of her home one day and forced her to be on The Biggest Loser.
Though. Right.
That's the worst part.
And she probably had that.
She probably had never heard of it and didn't know what the show was about when she got on it.
She didn't go voluntarily. They threw a hood over her head and a white panel van picked her up.
I didn't know that's how they did it.
Put the zip ties around her wrists and just drug her to NBC.
And she thought it was like a spa with a never-ending buffet. She could eat whatever she wanted when she got there.
And
no.
They washed her hands, apparently.
They did wash her hands of her.
Not sure how they did that, but.
Can you read my mind? Can you tell what I'm thinking right now? I'm thinking, shut up and get a salad.
The producers say, we stand by the integrity of the show. The safety and well-being of our contestants is and always has been our number one priority. They also lied. So there's no winners in this story, but don't go on there. You'll die.
I don't think that's
all I'm saying.
The point either.
Oh.
That's a ridiculous lawsuit, though, right?
I feel like she's from Massachusetts, too. I could hear
she
it.
She did have that voice. Accent. Yeah.
I think
she's a New Yorker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, just
they're,
as bad. Almost
they're
just
flip
as bad.
Sides of the same annoying coin, right?
I don't want that coin. It's awful.
Get it? She's fat.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Suzanne Mendonca?
Yes.
From Fairhaven, Massachusetts.
Oh, there you go.
Lives in New York City.
Oh, she's got it all going on.
Boom! Suzanne.
It's the worst of both.
Damn you.
It's a hot fudge sundae of bad accents.
Is that what it is?
Yes. You got the ice cream, which is the bad Mass accent, uh-huh. And then you just drizzle the New York accent over it and put a cherry on top.
Makes me hungry.
See?
And she eats three of them.
Maybe no to a Snickers bar every once in a while, wouldn't hurt.
Come on,
you
leave Suzanne.
You're just fat.
Suzanne has damaged metabolic rate.
She's fat.
They threw her out like yesterday.
I mean,
garbage.
Look at her. She's got elbow cleavage.
I think we got it. I think we understand.
They threw her out like yesterday's
saying.
Garbage. Today's garbage they keep around, but yesterday's garbage they get rid of it. I think she's confusing yesterday's news with today's
fat.
Garbage.
And yes, even obese.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your endless play.
My God, you've put on weight.
I hate how many fat drops you have.
We haven't been able to play them in a long time.
Well, maybe there's a reason.
Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I take the stage for Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. We'd love to have you come join us. We'll be talking about Suzanne and other annoying people. Many lawsuits in the news this week. You can see us at 10 p.m. Improv on Melrose. Go to improv.com to get your tickets. Today's celebrity birthday, Stevie Nicks is 68 years old today. Country singer Hank Williams Jr. is 67. Bobcat Goldthwait turns 54 years old today. Lenny Kravitz is 52. Helena Bonham Carter's 50. Matt Stone, half of the South Park creating team of Tratt and May, 45
Man
years
Tratt.
Old today. No, Man Tratt.
Yep.
Oh, what am I trying to say here, Kevin? And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, May, Trat and May rather, when they, what am I trying to say here, Kevin? Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's
this is like
Matt and May from now on.
That was a moment with Bean.
What am I trying to say here?
Yeah,
Kevin?
And Bean's the guy that came up with the rule of let Kevin drown.
That's right. But when he's drowning, oh, where's that? Where's the life raft?
At least it wasn't embarrassingly on the phone with Tim Minchin.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah.
Could have been worse. Could have been on the phone with Weird Adam.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garvin. I walk the show with Bean.
Congratulations to Don Heckman from Los Angeles. Just got tickets to the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas and is in the drawing for a grand prize for the trip to the festival with the hotel and the airfare.
Nice.
It's a pretty good deal. You can go to KROQ.com for all the details. Your next chance to win at noon with our friend Kat Corbett. Was it just yesterday we were talking to about sleepwalkers or 2 days ago maybe?
Yeah, a couple days ago.
Had that story in the news about that guy in Britain who left his hotel and walked out into traffic completely naked. So we started taking calls from our listeners about all the times that they have sleepwalked, and it's very common. And one thread that was really running through a lot of the calls that we took were that people were on Ambien. And then we started talking about all the crazy side effects of Ambien, and we thought, you know who we ought to ask about this? Our good friend Dr. Dupinsky, who joins us every Thursday about this time here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Doc, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Very good.
Great to talk to you again.
Kevin, I heard a little of the coyness to Kevin's voice. Kevin, have you ever had any experiences like this?
Yes, I have.
Funny you should ask, doctor.
Funny you should bring that up. It was the day I stopped taking Ambien.
Ambien, Dr. Drew, is the number one prescription sleep aid in America, correct?
It has been for quite a while, yeah. And it's a very effective medication. It's called a hypnotic. It's a relative of the benzodiazepine medications. It functions very similarly. And, yeah, it works. It'll hold you in sleep. But its side effect is amnesia and then sleep disturbances. So often people will do or stay awake or say things and have no recollection of it or have these kinds of bizarre sleep disturbances that you're talking about where they'll get up and drive or cook.
That sounds like more than a disturbance if you're getting up and driving.
Yes, it's very dangerous. And some people are more prone to it than others, and sometimes it's dose-related. But there are those people that really have severe disturbances of sleep and will do almost anything you can do awake. They do in what's called this hypnagogic state. They're not right, but they look kind of awake, but they're definitely not. Almost like. Remember, was it Step Brothers, that movie where they were sleepwalking all the time? That kind of bizarre behavior actually happens.
Isn't that something? Now, how do you feel about prescribing Ambien? Are you comfortable with it, or are the side effects so common that you have real concerns about using it?
I have real concerns about using it, but I do prescribe it. I try to limit it for things like travel, where people are contained, like on an aircraft or something. Our dear friend Stryker had a weird reaction where he was going to, I think, South Africa on a long flight. Mm-hmm. He took a little more than the usual dose. And he had a full conversation with the lady next to him who wasn't there.
Oh, yes.
What?
Sweet.
Kind of makes your strawberry ice cream not look so bad, doesn't it, Kevin?
Drew, I took a nap. I took Ambien, and I woke up, and there was strawberry ice cream all over the walls. And I was so freaked out by that I never took Ambien again.
Well, as is the custom, you smeared strawberry ice cream.
What? Like, that's something I would never do. I prize strawberry ice cream. Why would I waste it like that?
It was a pain. It was a finger pain. What are you going
to
do?
We have heard in particular, Dr. Drew, whenever we talk to our listeners about Ambien, about people getting up and eating in the middle of the night and having no memory of it whatsoever. Is there any reason in particular like that, why that would be a thing that so many people would do?
Well, because there are drive states in our brain, right? Sleep sex is the other thing you'll hear about that people do.
We got some of those too, yeah.
Very disturbing to people's partners and all, and they have no record. And it's always hard to tell. Are they awake and really just amnestic from the Ambien, or are they really still asleep? And it's sometimes hard to tell the difference, and sometimes it doesn't matter. Many of the people that have sleep sex will say that they're aware that their partner's in sort of an altered state, but they're kind of forceful.
Fine with it.
There's legal and ethical questions about this. You know, they're kind of forceful in that state. Are they committing a crime, you know, when they do this? And then the eating part is very common. Again, you're hungry, and so you get up and you eat.
How does a drug make you forget that you got up and ate?
Well, it's like, you know.
It's like if you're blackout drunk. You don't remember.
Exactly. Thank you. There are mechanisms that push information from short-term to long-term memory, and you can block that with substances.
Now, right. Are you able to wake someone up? If, let's say, you go out to the kitchen and your husband is in there just eating up everything, but you know he had just been asleep, is there a way to wake somebody up that's on Ambien, or does it just have to run its course?
Here's what you go, hey, what the hell are you doing?
Okay.
No. Go back to bed.
No, first you get out your cell phone and you record video.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
then you yell at.
Barbara has some video. You have to follow. But, yeah,
you can wake them.
Wives' tale that you're going to harm them if you right. wake them. No, nonsense. They need to get either awakened or redirected, you know, get them back. One of my sons is a sleepwalker. He walks a lot, and he has to sort of lock his room and make sure things are structured because he gets up and moves around the room. And that is about all you can do.
I was going to ask what you can do if it's not Ambien related.
Right.
So you can't just stop taking it. What do you do if people sleepwalk?
It's extremely difficult. There are behavioral and medication interventions, but for the most part, people just learn to structure their environment to sort of plan for the stuff they do. And some people even, like, tie themselves to bed. And there's things that people do to accommodate it. But you don't hear about people harming themselves typically because it is something that people can manage pretty easily. But the Ambien part, because it's pharmacological, you do hear about people getting in trouble. They don't anticipate it. It's not customary. It doesn't sort of respond to the usual sorts of interventions. Because you're in an altered state, and there's just no telling. You can't plan for it. And
how do you know if it has that effect on you?
You don't. And I know that most people that use Ambien for sleep are aware that it just knocks them down. They are asleep, and that's that. Most people that have had peculiar consequences from it will complain at least that they have memory problems or they're not sure what happened or that it was a weird experience. Now, oftentimes people say on a plane that they're kind of aware they got up and talked to the flight attendant, and so that's somebody you don't want taking Ambien.
Right. Let me ask you one more question on this, Dr. Drew, because you deal with a lot of legal issues on your HLN show, and that is, do you agree with the verdicts in the cases where people have been charged with crimes that they committed on Ambien, like driving and running over a person or something like that? Do you think that that's a legitimate acquittal?
I'm acquittal, yes. I'm that whole area is deeply confusing and concerning to me in that, on one hand, you want to hold people accountable for taking the substance.
Right.
Particularly if they have any knowledge that this could be adversely affecting their behavior. But by the same token, they can't be responsible because they're in an altered state. So, again, that's above my pay grade. That's for the legal people to figure out.
Gotcha. All right, drdrew.com is where you want to go for all things Dr. Drew, including his daily podcast with Adam Carolla. You can look for him on HLN Monday through Thursdays at 4, and, of course, Midday Live with Mike Catherwood every weekday afternoon from noon to 3 on KABC. Doc, have a great one, sir. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, guys. Sleep.
Hey, we're fast running out of show here, and it occurs to me we have not yet given away our Copa America tickets. Can we do that real
That's
fast?
That's correct, yes. We have a pair of tickets to see Colombia versus Paraguay.
Those sound like they would be countries with good teams.
They are countries with good teams, yes. It's the country of Colombia versus Paraguay. We're going to take caller 20 right now, 1-800-520-1067. They play June 7th at the Rose Bowl. Nice.
32 games, 16 teams, one champion. That's what I've heard. You can go to ca2016.com for more information and to get your tickets.
Oh, my God. Are you talking about soccer?
Yes, we are. Roland?
Yes, it's Roland.
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
We're in the middle of a national crisis, and you people are flapping your gums about soccer?
Well, it's the Copa America. It's a pretty big deal.
It's a bigger deal than life as we know it is over. How about that's a big deal?
Oh, all right, wow. Hold on. Let me see if I can guess.
Did you talk about soccer when 9/11 was happening, too?
All right.
Oh, a plane hit a tower, but oh, kick the ball.
What?
Oh,
so you're saying today?
Let's go on the pitch and wear our kits.
So you're saying today is the equivalent of 9/11?
It's worse.
Is this because
I don't love this?
Donald Trump got enough delegates for the Republican nomination yesterday?
Oh, that's meaningless.
Oh, I thought that was important. Okay, what else could it be then? What else is going on that's so bad? Is this? No, that's not it. What is it?
Captain America is a secret agent for Hydra.
Huh. Oh, this is the comic book that came out? When did it come out? Yesterday, the day before?
Yesterday!
Okay, take it easy. We're asking questions.
How can I take it easy when 75 years of Captain America's history has just been flushed out of crapper?
Well, bring us up to speed for those of us who aren't hanging on every word in every comic book, Roland. What's happening? I'm sorry, I don't know. A new comic book came out and somebody has a theory that Captain America is really secretly a bad guy?
Oh, is this where Captain America gets a boyfriend?
Ah! No! Oh. I would prefer that so much more.
Okay.
Oh, because Steve Rogers is dreamy.
Yeah, he is, right. He actually is nice. Pretty dreamy. What's happening then, Roland? Why are you saying he's Hydra?
In the brand new issue of Steve Rogers, Captain America number one, written by evil man Nick Spencer, at the end of the story, Cap reveals that he is an agent of Hydra. He says, Hail Hydra!
He's been fighting Hydra his entire life.
Yes. Now you grasp the importance of this all.
So how do they reconcile?
Hydra, an organization started by the Nazis, the very organization Captain America has been fighting against for 75 years.
And this
doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense, Roland.
It beyond doesn't make any sense. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Well, it's really just a guy in a comic book.
Fine.
Is it possible he's kidding?
No.
Does Captain America kid?
Does he joke?
Do we have to let the woman talk?
Yes, we do. Yes, that's a legitimate question. What's the reason for Captain America being in Hydra then? It doesn't make any sense. What are they going for here?
This so-called writer, Nick Spencer, claims that he has been an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., of Hydra, his entire life. He's just been working from the inside, and not only now we're finding out about it.
Hasn't he been a thing for 75 years he's been hiding it?
Apparently not, because now he's an agent of Hydra. Hope you're happy. Nice work, Obama. So everybody is now tweeting death threats to this writer, Nick Spencer.
Well, that's
extreme.
I have to
say, as angry as I am, I have to say that is absolutely the right thing to do.
Oh, Roland, don't be ridiculous.
Make him worried for his life.
Don't be ridiculous. Death threats.
You shouldn't start your own car, Nick Spencer.
Okay, that's
say no to Hydra Cap.
That's inappropriate.
Roland, you know that this is all make-believe. It's just something that you have fun with. Maybe you don't take it so seriously.
Who are you? What kind of person are you? Have you no soul?
It's just a comic book.
What if I put on a Captain America mask alone in my car and cry? Then will I be of value to you?
Oh, I'd probably feel bad.
Captain America,
what?
Captain America,
he's you need to take some Ambien and go lay down, my friend.
I took a Viagra. You think that'll help?
No,
maybe.
I don't think.
106.7 K Rogers.
Hey!
K or Q?
No.
I don't feel that one.
Ralph Garman is here with our final look at the showbiz beat. Ralph, I wanted to ask you, we talked to Roland, who's out of his mind about this Captain America comic book controversy.
Holy moly, that guy needs a Prozac.
Right, exactly. I want to ask you, as a comic book fan who's a little more reasonable and kind of keeps things in perspective.
Please, call me an expert.
What are your thoughts on Captain America saying Hail Hydra in this new issue?
Listen, people.
Listen.
All is well. Remain calm.
Is this a setup, just a storyline?
This is just another indicator of the desperation that the major comic book publishers are going through now with sales of comic books. Comic books sell now to a very small niche audience of 30, 40, 50-something man-childs who are this niche audience, and they're desperately trying always to get back to the glory days of sales of comic books in the 70s and 80s. So what they do is...
I would have thought the sales of comic books would have followed the success of all the movies, no?
Not at all. And so what they're trying to do is to desperately cause some ripples and to get people's attention, and about every 3 or 4 months, there's one of these major earth-shattering events. Captain America had been killed. The Falcon was the first black Captain America. That was the game changer. This is the way it's always going to be forever. And then 6 months later, they give the Captain America mantle back to Steve Rogers, and now he's actually a Hydra agent, and Superman dies, and the crossovers.
So everything will be okay.
There's always something going on in this world that is going to change the game forever, and then they reboot it all over again, and it goes right back to the way it was. So it's a stunt. It's just a stunt.
Nothing to get upset about. Roland's overreacting.
We're going to find out that Steve was brainwashed or something, or he's an alien, and you know they're saying, "No, this is really him. This is no alien. This is no brain. This is the real way it's going to be from now on." It's like, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me 400 times.
No.
No, is that how it goes?
Shame on you even more.
Right.
I think that's how
okay.
It goes.
Yeah, well, that's a much more reasonable.
It's
opinion,
just, then. it's what they wanted. They've got
yeah, everyone. Right.
I mean, news outlets are running stories. People are reacting to it who haven't read a comic book in 30 years. Really. Maybe have never run a
comic book. I think that's
true
most of the time that people complain. They are taking up the case for someone else.
Right. This all goes back to when they killed Robin. They killed Robin up, Batman and Robin,
spoiler
years
alert.
Ago. And everyone went nuts. And they've been friends forever. And it was like the third Robin, the one nobody liked. And the other, Dick Grayson, was still alive and healthy. And just it's just people, they hear these reactionary things of Captain America's now a Nazi, and people just react. But it's all said. It's all well.
So along those lines.
Although Chris Evans is upset, apparently.
Is that right?
Yeah, he tweeted, "Say it ain't so." So, you know, for him.
That's pretty strong.
That's pretty strong words, because he's Captain America. Yes, Allie.
Could Han Solo be alive?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
She just wanted
right.
a glimmer of...
A little bit.
Just a glimpse
a
of hope.
There's no way
no,
that.
Okay.
There's no way that.
Because
right. you got mumbles there. You know, he's not going to put on the vest again. I'll do it. You know, kill me. You broke my leg. So, I don't think he's going to
not going to happen.
Right.
Speaking of endings... Last night's series finale of Nashville provided a 14% boost in ratings for that series.
Oh, man.
Too late, assholes.
Right? Where have you
bitches.
Been?
Where have you been? Allie and I have been sweating it out with these characters for
in
years.
The trenches.
And now you're just showing up at the last minute. Oh, let me check this out. See what this is like. Too late. Although it was a good episode. It was a happy ending for almost everybody. It was. Maddie's back at home. Gunner and Scarlett are back in love again. The exes are together.
I haven't watched it.
Oh, no. Sorry. I didn't have no idea.
Too bad.
Big Nashville fan, are you?
Well, I can't stay up that
Whatever.
Late.
Ugh. The worst.
But doesn't a plane...
The plane disappears. Sure. That doesn't end well for everyone.
Alert.
That's the only thing. I read that.
There's
and
someone
thought...
on a plane that disappears now forever because it's the end of the series. So no, it's not... In a perfect world, I'm just saying.
Depends on who disappears.
Well, that's the thing.
Right?
Oh.
Right?
Will's in good shape.
Okay.
So right. Everybody wins. Johnny Depp's not having a good ending.
Hmm.
His finale episode this week is not strong. His mom passed away on May 20th. And 2 days later, his wife, Amber Heard, filed for divorce.
Wow. That seems right? unusually cruel, by the way, even if things aren't going well for you.
It's a bad 1-2 punch.
To not hang on till at least the funeral before you leave your husband.
Yeah.
Give him a little support.
Speaking of support, she's requested spousal support. She'd like a little money for her 15-month stint out there in the country. They had no prenuptial agreement, so they're going to have to hash out how much money she makes and how much she's going to get out of this. And
I don't want ladies to hate me, but
doesn't
Amber Heard have a career and make a nice living? Does she need money from her husband?
Does.
She gave him the best 15 months of her life, Bean. That's worth something.
Those laws were not for her.
Yeah.
I feel bad saying this, but I have no sympathy for people that don't get a prenup.
It's kind
I'm
of
sorry.
In this
you're
day
an
and age,
idiot.
It's kind of silly not to, right?
Yeah. I didn't get a prenup.
Exactly.
Did
you're
you get one, Kevin?
Idiot.
I did not, no. But
exactly.
Kids. But when you have kids, then
idiot.
It's like, then I don't mind.
It doesn't matter anyway.
You know what I mean?
You're always
going to
be involved in
right.
each other's lives, and you're going to be paying for the kids
well,
forever. So.
That's why Bean did it. Oh.
Well, he had the cows at the time.
Oh, that's true.
He had the sheep and the pigs.
I'd just say protect yourself.
Before you wreck
you
yourself?
Did you say that?
Plus, why Bean, you're not Don Johnny Depp. What do you have?
Right.
What's you going to take? Half of your corn art? Could take half of your O.J. Simpson
naked
nude
OJ
photo.
It's funny you should bring those particular items up because she's already made it clear that she's making no claim on those.
Yeah, exactly. What does she have that you want? I mean, what are you going to lose? We're talking about a guy who makes millions of dollars
yeah.
per film. You got to protect your assets.
Right. But I mean, I think the fear is for anyone is, you know, Ali, you were just telling us off the air about a basketball player paying hundreds of thousands of dollars a month or something like that in support.
Yeah, Derek Fisher.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I think that's the fear is you could just lose half your income, yeah. In this case, to a woman who makes a nice living on her own who doesn't really need your money, you know?
But we were saying you have to get a prenup. You were the one who said you didn't get one.
I've said I didn't get one. Same as Johnny Depp, yeah.
It's not the same. At all. He was a big movie star 15 months ago when he got married.
Right.
You were a jamoke.
And you still are.
You still are. 20 years ago, whenever the hell you got married, it was meaningless. Why would anyone get a prenup with you? It's not relevant.
I think it is.
It's not the same.
Because I've made...
He has money and you don't.
Okay, I don't have Johnny Depp kind of money, but I've made a nice living.
All right, take it easy.
But at the time, who knew what you were going to make?
Right. That's my point.
No, it isn't.
Oh, that's your point. That's somebody's point.
I say it's one thing when you're young and stupid and you have nothing. Maybe you don't think along those lines. But if you're Johnny Depp and 15 months ago you marry
you
a woman
Johnny
half
Depp.
Your age, you're already
yeah.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a boneheaded move on his part. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow, that took a long time.
It's like hacking through the jungle with a machete.
But we got through this time, I think.
I'm exhausted.
You're an individual, but you have chosen to be a collectivist, not in the organized governmental false collectivist view, but in a true collectivist view, in that you are an individual, but you've transcended that into the body of the species, and only then do you access everything before, currently, and into the future. And then you're truly alive. Okay. And our enemies can see before them mm-hmm. and in the present, and they right. can imagine the future, but they don't see the future because they're not in that stream of time-space continuum and the will of God. They have stepped out of it in artificiality to try to take everything and the systems they've been given and twist it to their own will instead of submitting to the will of God.
I got you.
Okay. Are we all clear now?
He gets it.
He did clear it right up.
No, I get it. Johnny, of course, has Alice Through the Looking Glass opening up for Disney this Friday. Big movie.
All of this is weird timing.
Yeah, isn't it? And he's out there. He's got to do press now. Yeah. Stuff. It's just very awkward. Disney has quite the slate of films coming up based on their popular animated films, much like Alice was, of course. Pete's Dragon is coming out this summer, a live-action version of Pete's Dragon. Cruella de Vil, the standalone Cruella movie, is coming out with Emma Stone. Jungle Cruise, based on the Disneyland ride of the same name, is in the works. Live-action Dumbo, sequel to Mary Poppins, Maleficent 2, Jungle Book 2, a live-action Tinkerbell starring Reese Witherspoon. And just announced, well, they also have Beauty and the Beast with Emma Watson. Just announced the live-action The Little Mermaid is in the works. So we have a lot of Disney to look forward to for the rest of our lives. And this story made me very happy. Adele went to see a concert in Lisbon, Portugal last week. You know Portugal, right, Kevin?
Sure. It's your favorite South American country, if I recall.
I did say that once, yes.
But the thing was, she was not properly dressed. It was an outdoor show, it was a chilly night, and she was simply wearing a skirt and a thin jacket. And so as she was attending the concert, the man who was performing saw her in the audience, saw her being cold, and gave her his coat so she would be warm. The man on stage, Bruce Springsteen. So the boss took off his coat and said, "You look cold. You should wear this jacket."
How far into the show was it? Because it could be a very wet jacket.
That's true. He's a sweater.
He's a big sweater.
She said, "I was too embarrassed to try to put my arms in it because, obviously, too small.
Oh!"
So I just wore it on my shoulders, but it was amazing. So the boss is quite the gentleman.
Oh, I love that.
Then he put some chloroform in a rag. And,
I don't think that's how that went. Nope.
Threw in the trunk.
You're
of
making
a,
this up now. No. This part did not exist.
Of a,
pretty sure.
A 64 Crown Imperial.
Pretty sure this didn't exist.
I've heard
took her a ride into the
I don't think so.
Swamps of Lisbon.
Nope.
They have
swamps.
Sure they do. Bruce only plays places where they have swamps.
I didn't realize that.
He's very attached to swamps.
Okay.
Took her out of the car.
Nope. Didn't happen.
Dug a hole in the swamp.
No, you're making
started
that up.
To wake up.
You're
she said, "Hello."
Stupid.
You can't laugh and call me stupid at the same time.
She can laugh and hate herself for laughing. Oh, that can happen.
True.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Stevie Nicks is 68 years old today. Hinker.
Hinker?
Hinkerbert Humperdinck?
Hinker?
I was going to say singer Hank Williams Jr. and it came out Hinker. Hank Williams Jr. is 67 years old today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got that? You got that piece of sound I was talking about earlier in the show where he talks about
Obama
the Three Stooges
and Biden. Are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
It's the me of country music.
He was only one off, really. We've got to give him some credit. Bobcat Goldthwait, 54 years old today. Helena Bonham Carter is 50 years old. Matt Stone is 45.
What
are you laughing about?
Come on.
You're listening to... What's happening there, Ralph?
I'm thinking ahead. Because it's Lenny Kravitz's birthday. And Lenny Lenny Kravitz is 52.
I don't know that we need to.
And I'm just wondering where Lenny Kravitz has been lately. I haven't seen him in a while. I wonder where Lenny Kravitz is.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
But if you see my butt, then there's a possibility that Lenny Kravitz is going to fall out, and nobody wants that.
Of your butt?
No.
I'm saying the other side.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Who was on the phone? Was that Mama Muggs?
No, it was a listener.
Oh, listener.
We were talking about his junk.
Yeah, his junk had just fallen out, and so.
Right.
But that was long before this phone call.
Oh,
the phone
hours.
Call was something about
I don't
the pet, the butt, the someone wearing. Pants and the seat had ripped or something.
Right.
And Kevin said, you don't want to see my butt because Lenny Kravitz could fall out.
Oh, Kevin.
It made sense in my head.
Mm. Lenny Kravitz.
Back to you.
Spelunker. This is his new album. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out. The SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness today. We get a 5 p.m. commercial-free hour. The 5 o'clock hour is commercial-free thanks to them on the world-famous K-Rock.